You're listening to KPFT Houston.
In state after state, the legislature wants to regulate human nature. In short, from sea to shining sea, they'd like to tell you who to be. They can pass all the statutes that they please. Acorns won't grow into maple trees. Besides, those differences they hate are the strength that makes this country great. Only fools would write those laws. They simply can't succeed because you can't take the color out of Colorado. You can't take the Mary out of Maryland. As John Philip Sousa said, I can't march if I can't hear the boys in the band. You can't take the sissy out of Mississippi. He's there and he's going to stay. And so QED, it's it's as plain as ABC. You need us to make the USA.
You can't kick our asses out of Massachusetts or subtract the 10% from Tennessee.
Utah could never be the beehive state if the hairdressers went absentee.
You can't run the homos out of Oklahoma.
No!
It's their home and they won't go away.
In the land of the free, diversity's the key. You need us to make the USA.
Who will never be passé in old El Paso? Who will always know what's new in New Orleans?
Chicago with no chic would be boring in a week. And you can't have New York City without Queens.
Right, you cannot replace those Staten Island fairies. And who'll always keep Santa Fe? Yes, we're proud to state we help make this country great. You need us to make the USA.
Virgin out of West Virginia. Take the orgy out of Georgia, if you must. You can drive the evil out of Wisconsin and leave Illinois' ills in the dust. You can try to take the KY from Kentucky, though I doubt that you'll get very far. But you'll never take the collar out of Colorado.
Don't you realize who we are? With a friendly teller at your bank, with a teacher at your Sunday school, with a guy who fixed your water tank, with a cute new lifeguard at the pool, with a nice young man who bought your car, with a lady singing on the radio, hear your favorite daytime TV star, all kinds of people you already know.
We're doctors, lawyers, movers, shakers, friends and neighbors, policymakers, and remember this about us, America couldn't do. More like Fort Wayne. We're part of America, the beautiful. Remember her fruit and flesh. We're all marching to a master orchestration. So please let all the instruments play. Just to leave no doubt, one more time we'll spell it out. You need us to make the USA. You need us to make the
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the July 3rd edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harris. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest running producer of this show. And our newest co-producer, Wes Laverne, has taken the night off. He is having his hiatus.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. When he calls in to rebut, let's not really figure out how to work the phones.
Rebut. Okay.
Well, it is the 4th of July weekend.
It is. It is. In fact, it's now officially the 4th of July, as of right now. And, yes, it was the only version I had, and I wanted to play that song because it represents our Independence Day, and we got our independence from the British. And that is one song that is probably the most well-known between American and British audiences.
But did you see who produced this?
Yes, I did.
What were you doing with this?
It was one of the CDs that the station was throwing away. Oh. And I picked it up because it was all marches. And you know.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever in After Hours history, we played something from the American Bible Society.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they did it or they put it out or what. But that's about the only good one on there. The other versions of all of the, you know, like American Beautiful, sung by somebody who can't sing, and you know, it's just kind of lame.
Yeah, you handed this to me, and I'm like, what the?
I know. And I just said, shut up and play it. Don't give me grief. Did you know what you were playing before it started?
No, I didn't recognize the name of it.
Aha, yes.
Yeah, I guess I should. I am from the Philadelphia area. And the other song we played was our traditional July song.
Yes.
The patriotic finale from When Pigs Fly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is one of the real reasons why Wes didn't show up this week. Because
pigs are flying?
I told him about that song. He's like,
No. He doesn't like it?
I guess not.
Maybe he had to sing it when he was in the chorus and he's tired of it.
It's probably him calling.
Yeah, we're not answering.
Lights flashing.
Yeah, we don't have anybody to answer it.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
It's a pisser.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, how was your week?
Blah.
Really?
It's so slow at work. And then yesterday with all the rain, it was just blah.
Yeah, well, we're almost finished with phase one of the remodeling of Stanley's duplex. And phase one is the most intricate because it's remodeling his unit, which really needed it desperately.
I'm not going there. I'm not talking about Stanley's unit. hold on. We got a rebuttal on that. Do you want to speak about Stanley's unit in there? Oh, wait, hold on. There we go.
I have no recollections of Stanley's unit, Mr. Chairman. I did meet his credit card several times.
But yes, you had.
I will say that this duplex sounds like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes. It certainly does. It's like $25,000 worth so far.
That was only your electricity.
Well, no, that hasn't happened yet.
Well, Geraldo made money off that Al Capone's vault. Maybe you can, you know, open it up to Channel 8 or something like that, really going to see if there's any relics other than yourself and family.
I know I've said this before, but let me put it to you this way. And your eyes got wide open when I said $25,000. I was with Stanley for 32 years.
And never had a fight.
And, well, almost. But in that time, when I first met him, the carpet in his apartment needed to be replaced badly. He never did. As long as I knew him, he never painted the apartment. As long as I knew him, there was a crack in the ceiling that, you know, he just constantly complained about but never did anything about it. And over the years, other things happened that either got repaired badly or didn't get repaired at all, or, you know, so it was kind of, it's fix it, clean up time.
So being a Geek Hammer, fixing all that, you're basically erasing history, is that what you're saying?
No, I am.
He only keeps the good history, you know, the wall paneling went.
Not in the upstairs unit. Oh. Judy wanted it, so it's...
Judy wanted wood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, her pussy's going to be living there.
So Judy and her pussy wanted wood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they got it in spades.
That's the most dangerous line to use at the station.
Yes.
We'll leave the whole Bieber.
Yes, we will.
We'll leave.
Thank God we're still considered a women's health show at this moment.
Oh, okay. Well. Well. And so after the tenant moves out downstairs, then phase two will start. But that's there's a lot less that needs to be done downstairs. And then the electric gets done, and then I move in.
So maybe for your birthday we'll have a Jimmy's grand opening.
Housewarming. I'd rather call it a housewarming.
I'm not going to say anything.
Jimmy's grand opening happened a long time ago.
And it's taken a lot to refurbish it.
Yes. Oh, it's going to take three times that before it's all over with. At least. Yeah. These things don't come cheap these days.
Oh. Considering you're saying a 69-year-old building.
Mm-hmm. Only I can inherit a 69-year-old house.
And then installing your pocket door glory hole,
mm-hmm,
with
fold
down stool,
right?
The sign there, fishmonger upstairs, meat market downstairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the bar and the casino with the liquor up front, poker in the rear.
Yeah.
Now we'll put that over Judy's door.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting to see this, and imagine Jimmy's decorating style of all pink and angels. And
No. That's just the bedroom.
I want to get one thing out of the way.
I wish you would.
We've been having issues with people not hearing it because of this. Normally we do our MBB letters and stories later in the evening.
Yes, we do.
And apparently some of them aren't hearing it, so Daryl has missed out.
Oh, has
on
he?
Hearing. But this is a repeat one.
Yes.
From Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Who, we did get your letter several weeks ago. We did out you on air as requested.
Yes, we did.
And
we can do it again, too.
Yeah, and because he hadn't heard it, and he sent another picture.
Oh.
Yes. The green shirt.
Yes, I get it.
So, yeah, so I just want to make sure you heard it before when we get to it later on in the show.
Oh, when are we going to do this?
Well, like we normally do. But I just want to make sure they know that we have him receiving the letter.
Oh, okay.
I know it's frustrated Daryl that, you know, we normally do this when we get closer to roundtable time, and he's not hearing that we're talking about it. I was afraid that some of the prison officials were censoring his mail.
Oh.
And in this case, Elijah said he didn't hear it when we outed him on air as requested.
So Daryl hasn't heard that I want an outline.
I guess not.
Oh. I want an outline, Daryl. Just, you know, just
Plop it down. If it needs to be continued on back, then...
And, you know, and just take a pencil and just run it all along the edge. Yeah.
Yeah, just put remember back in
all along the tender side.
Remember in elementary school when you put your hand on Thanksgiving, you put your hand down and you traced your fingers
and
to
made
make
a turkey?
Yeah, we don't want turkeys.
We want the Washington Monument.
Plaster casting? Is that
I was thinking of a different kind of bird.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, so instead of the turkey, I think he's looking more for chicken, or as the French call it, le coq.
Oh, okay. Okay, with that in mind, shall we, like Cook, shall we talk about things going on in the community?
Sure, because this should be a busy night.
I'm just going to touch on a couple of things, because most of the clubs are doing big specials for the 4th of July, but I did want to point out a couple. Tony's Corner Pocket is, along with Reese's and the PWA Holiday Charities, present the 4th Annual 4th of July Red, White, and Proud Party and Show, starting at 4 p.m. Now, I'm pointing this out because this is a great fundraiser. Plus, you get there at 4, they got munchies, there's a show, and you're already parked, and from Tony's, you have, you know, because it's at 817 West Dallas, you have it's a great location to see the downtown fireworks. So, you know, and it's, you know, what you get there for, it's free parking. You know,
yeah,
it's a terrific deal.
You're so close, you may get burned.
Ooh, well, that's not what we're hoping for, but hey.
Well, yeah, the tender spots make it sin.
Oh, I know. It's starting at 4, Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, and that's for the PWA Holiday Charities. And if you happen to be in Galveston, you want to go over to 3102 Seawall Boulevard, because you're going to join the crew of Bacchus, Texas, at the Stars Beach Club. They're going to have burgers, dogs, and sausage on the stick from 4 p.m. until sold out. And all members, please spread the word. Okay. Crew of Bacchus, Texas. Your special going on. Then, Sunday, July the 11th, the best Christmas in July show in Texas, happening at the BRB, directed by David Sawyer. It's the Christmas in July show, MCs Don Gill and Anne Marie Gill, special guest, the Austin Baptist Women, featuring Miss Mona and her BRB girls, happening at the BRB, 2400 Brazos, at the usual time. It's a PWA Holiday Charities event, benefiting the AIDS Trouble Fund clients. Woo! And I'll bet we'll have somebody to talk about that later. And then something else happening over at Tony's. Softball fundraisers at Tony's Corner Pocket on Sunday, July the 18th, from 6 to 9 p.m. Here's a mud dive for a brand new bicycle. That ought to be fun. And then a cakewalk, a real cakewalk, which I have no idea what that is. Drink specials and spiked lemonade. And then Saturday, July 31st, from 9 p.m. to midnight, another softball fundraiser. It's the Mega 50-50 Rally, and Jell-O shots and raffles with exciting prizes. So mark your calendars, 817 West Dallas, Tony's Corner Pocket. And it's your turn.
Theater New West and the Holocaust Museum, Houston, extremely proud to present the Laramie Project, with eight performances going from June 24th through July 24th. Theater New West produced a event at the museum back in 2004, and it was sold out.
Oh, that was good, too.
Saturday, July 10th, Judy Shepherd will be at the event.
Mm-hmm.
There will also be a book signing held in her honor of The Meaning of Matthew, My Son's Murder in Laramie, and A World Transformed.
Wow.
Mayor Anise has also been invited to attend the performance. All the performances are located at the Holocaust Museum, Houston, 5401 Caroline Street. There will be eight performances. The ones coming up is going to be the 10th, 11th, 15th, 17th, 22nd, and 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday performances are 7:30. Saturday performances are 8 p.m. And I think we've missed the Sunday matinee already. Tickets are $25. Seniors 62 and older and students with ID are $20. For more information, call 713-522-2204 Hello? Or check out Theatre New West. That's theatrenewwest.com.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Panic? We're still promoting Panic?
No, it's over with.
Oh, it is? Okay. Oh. Hopefully coming up here in a little bit will be Stage Door Inc. promoting their event, A Year with Frog and Toad. Let's talk more about that. Don't forget Pride in the Park on July 10th, Houston Astros versus the St. Louis Cardinals. Tickets will be benefiting Bayou City Performing Arts, Bering Omega, Bunnies on the Bayou, Legacy Community Health Services, Out and Equal Houston, PFLAG, and Pride Houston. You can go to astros.com/pride to get your tickets that way to make sure that those organizations get a credit for that. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star is presenting on July 9th, 7:30 at JR's.
Really?
Bear With Me a Moment, hosted by Blair Fullerton. This is a benefit for the Ocitos Foundation.
Yeah.
July 16th at 10 p.m. at the BRB, Drink, Drank, Drunk,
ooh,
hosted by Jody Travis.
Mm.
July 17th, 8 p.m. at Crocker, will be Tap Out Tunes, hosted by Natasha Nicole Siebert. And don't forget coming up at the end of the month on Saturday, July 31st at 8 p.m. over at the New Barn. It's The Lifestyles of the Not-So-Rich and Famous. Fire and Ice Ball 2010.
Yes.
A hee-haw, redneck, hillbilly, whatever you want to call it, will do it all.
Ooh.
An evening of production numbers plus a hot dog and barbecue bar with all the fixings.
How elegant.
Tickets on sale in advance, $15, $20 at the door. Front row tables for four is $100. It's a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services through ERESIS. You can email for more information at falcon_ERESIS, that's ERSICSS, at yahoo.com. Or you can probably go to their website, ERESIS.org.
Okay.
On Saturday, July 24th, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. is at Everett EJ's, will be the Royal Road Trip. For one day, the seven courts of Texas and the court of Oklahoma will be doing a monarch exchange. Whereas Falcon will be going to Corpus Christi and Emperor Sherry will be heading to Dallas, Houston will be playing host to Emperor Jeff Jeremy of Germany of Dallas and Empress Bree Williams of Corpus Christi.
That sounds like fun.
If only we can keep them.
No.
Well, half of them.
I want Sherry back.
Okay. Maybe Falcon will get lost on his way back to Corpus. It's not hard to do, you know. I come out of the bar, turn left, next thing you know. Come out and greet our visiting monarchs and show them the great Houston hospitality. These shows will be open to all community performers.
Yeah. Okay.
Boy, I wonder if Falcon hears all this stuff, how much crap we'll get next year.
I know.
Somebody was a little rough on him last week. I won't mention names, Chris.
Yeah, right. That's self-incrimination stuff, huh?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm as innocent as a newborn foal.
Oh, boy. There's been a lot of BS in this production room, but that really tops it.
It's strange. I'm not used to being the one that's topping it. I think I've killed Jimmy now. All right.
So, speaking of tops, Stephen brought one along with him.
The sick puppy are you referring to?
What? Me? What? I have no recollection of those events, Mr. Chairman.
I'll bet not.
Yeah, grab your mic and pull it. All right, there we go.
That wasn't my mic. That was my mic stand.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
And I'm just peachy.
Me too.
No, you're pink, not peachy.
That's true.
Well,
wrong, yeah. wrong hanky.
I get that whole peachy and apricot thing all mixed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, no, no.
And he's almost speechless.
And you're here tonight representing whom?
I'm here tonight representing the Colt 45.
Ah, yes.
We're a 501c service organization. Mm-hmm. We do rent utility assistance for people with AIDS on disability. And if you would, we can explain a little bit about that. I'm new to this program, to KPFT 90.1, 89.5 on your dial in Galveston. And I would like to thank After Hours.
To what?
Well, to After Hours. Yeah. I'd like to thank After Hours for all the time that they've donated to the Colt Celeste. Come out and do our little spiel and sit around and see how you do this fabulous show. And, sorry, hairball.
You've been listening to this show longer than most people I know.
For a long time. And, you know, I was always mystified, and I do agree now. I know why you don't want to see the wizard behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it never takes away from it, but sometimes it might scare you. You know, it's the in the past where you've had to put keep that hand on the wall and this finger balanced over here to make sure that the mics work. Uh-huh. And you know, some of the stuff that you guys have had to do over the years with the baling wire and the
gum. I know. It used to be I had to do it all too. You know,
even though Chris has been here, you've still claimed you do it all anyway. So you know, I'm not going to see if I believe that or not.
No, for many years, once midnight came, I was in that seat until 4 a.m., no matter what.
Never mind. At least you were vertical, so that's okay.
Well, when you talk about the baling wire, you got to imagine the fact that the station was off the air for 2 days this past week.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
because somebody liked the copper over at the tower.
Yeah, and a transmitter.
I heard about that, and there's a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the air conditioners leaving and...
Yeah.
Dang copper. Oh, sorry.
You dirty copper.
Maybe we'll just have a penny drive. Just leave a bag of pennies outside the transverse. Instead of breaking in and doing that, just take this bag
the
of pennies.
You know. Yeah.
What is it with these guys? It's always something about copper.
Because there were some cute cops out there on the parade route last week.
There were.
You know, there. Well, I mentioned a little bit, it was nice to see KPFT, you know, the three wise guys, riding along.
Crammed into a PT Cruiser convertible, yes.
Well, that's the last, first time.
I thought you were foolish to let me get up on top.
And I thought it was very diverse that you had three men riding in such a lesbian automobile.
Yeah, I know.
And it was
owned by a straight woman. I have to give kudos to Miss Gardner, yes, for donating loaning her PT Cruiser to us.
Topless. I mean, you know, it had no roof on it.
Yes.
And Jimmy managed to make it past used to be Mary's without falling on his crown.
You know, and we still stopped the car and bowed to Mary's, the memory of Mary's.
I still think you should have dropped. I was telling somebody, I wish they had gotten together and dropped their shorts and just mooned Mary's at that point. We bowed enough. I think we had to just moon it at this point. But
that's a good point. Yeah.
They said, oh, is Jimmy going to be... I said, well, you know, they have him lifted up, you know, kind of like that whole Peter Pan thing where they're going to fly on by wires. And mm-hmm, wires and mm-hmm. People actually believe that. But I said, I think they're just moon Marys.
So, you know, we got to the reviewing stand, and Ernie Manous was up there and saying, oh, and there's Queer Voices. So we gave him what for?
I like Ernie. I like the way he does weather on Channel 2. He's just fabulous.
Yeah, isn't it great? Yeah. Right.
Wrong gay man.
So, I was just sending one back at Ernie.
So we were here later. We had, you know, while we were there, we said, come on, time to show, yeah. And, yeah, like, he's going to show up. So we were talking about that incident
free
later.
Liquor. Two words, free liquor.
Yeah. And so we were just giving him hell on the air, and I was calling him Ernie Man Use. And 5 minutes later, he walked in the door. He had heard it. So.
That's when they stop talking about you.
Yeah.
That's when you're supposed to worry.
That's right. So, what's Colt 45's got going on here lately?
Well, we've been very busy. Luckily, we've been busy helping clients out the last few months. And that's in part thanks to, and not saying that we don't need money, because you always need money, because as fast as we get it donated, every penny, every dollar, every drachma, every cent that you give to the AIDS Trouble Fund goes to our clients to help with rent and utility assistance. If you have AIDS, you have our small three-page, can you believe it, three-page application.
Mm-hmm.
Because we figure between all the 18 and 24-page applications that you've filled out at different providers, that, you've pretty much got that down at this point. We've had the crew of Olympus that we were their beneficiary last year. That we were able to be given $5,400 to our charity for that. And just recently, I don't know if we've talked about it, but Bunnies on the Bayou, we love the Bunnies, in the largest, I guess they set the record for the largest outdoor cocktail party ever, they were able to donate $7,000 to the AIDS Trouble Fund. And
that's a nice piece of change.
It was right in time, because we've had a lot more new clients starting coming into the
Because there's been problems with the Ryan White thing, and the ADAP program has been hampered, and it's harder and harder to get on that if they're even allowing new people on the ADAP. And the ADAP is the AIDS Drugs Assistance Program.
That's going to be a big big issue coming on, because not only are we at the Colt 45s, if you'd like to know more about us, colt45s.org. You can go there not only to see a little bit about us, but you can also get your AIDS Trouble Fund application, or if somebody else needs one, you can get them there. There's a little red button onto the side, or you can give us a call at 713-528-6077. 713-528-6077. We have no operator standing by, but we do have voicemail, which is now up and going again. The very best way to get in touch with us is to go with via email, which you can go on our website and get those links. But it is ATF at Colt45S.org, or you can send it to board, B-O-A-R-D, at Colt45S.org. And we can help you get those, either you or the case management worker. If it's just somebody you wish to know, we can call you back, or we can get in touch with you, because we're an all-volunteer organization.
That's right.
We have our office space is donated by the BRB for the last 31 years of our 34 year existence, because 35 is next year.
Yeah, that's right.
When I retire.
Sure.
I heard a snicker. And coming up, I have this piece of paper in front of me.
Oh.
Coming up, next weekend. Next weekend, in fact, because we're working quickly and fastly on that. Our good personal friends at PWA Holiday Charities each year help our clients, our active clients. We have rolled the people that are active, because we've had 1,600 and some odd clients over the years. We are a small little organization. over the last 26 years, we've had 1,630 or 40 clients come through our doors that we've helped.
This is last ditch effort.
Yeah, this is
are the last ditch effort.
Ground Roots. We are people that other funds that have run out for them. For the most part, we're not assisted living. We help people. It basically works out to once a year.
Yeah.
We can help you about once a year, because we get absolutely no government funds. We don't try for that, only because we figure if we take that dollar out of somebody else's mouth, that's another organization that needs that roll those pennies to put into a bigger fund. Plus, when you get government funds, you have to have some overhead. We have absolutely no overhead.
Right.
Our computer equipment, our office supplies, everything is either donated or bought by our members. We have about a good solid dozen
taken strong. Home from wherever they work.
No, we don't do that.
No.
As far as you know, Mr. Chairman, I have no regulations.
But you're the last ditch effort, and it's emergency fund only.
And we help people that we do not pay late fees, unfortunately, because we try to pay your basic. We pay your basic phone. We pay the gas. We pay the electric. We pay your water, but we don't pay cell bills. We don't pay cable. Basic living necessities.
Basic living necessities.
Keep your lights on. Keep a roof over your head.
Yeah.
We've done a pretty darn good job for 26 years, and I'm going to blow my own horn. I wouldn't change it too much. We've tweaked it a little
bit.
Can
you do that?
Yeah.
Wow.
We actually have changed, modified a little bit over the years as some of the money has gone you know, ebbed and flowed in what the cost of livings are. But it's a good enough, for the most part, to help a lot of people with rent for one time per calendar year.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that don't need that more than once. They, you know, everybody has an oops where you get a medical bill.
Exactly. You've been in the hospital.
Partner gets sick or something of that sort.
That's right.
And you just get a little bit short on that. Well, we've had people in the past that maybe their rent was $650. We've had people come in and say, I just need, if you could give me $239,
yeah.
You know, we've had somebody who've been that clinical.
And that honest.
I don't need the $600, but if you give me $239 and some odd cents, and we're thinking, you know, these are the people that are going in, I just need this amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of those people out there. It makes you really happy with some of that human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They just need enough to get by, and they'll make it up to you. And over the years, you know, we've had those occasional people that send in a $50 or $20 or $100. They say, you helped me 5, 10 years or 2, 3 years ago, helped me give out, here's something back.
Yeah, I'm in a better place now, so here's a little something.
As you sit around, you know that in some of the organizations.
Absolutely.
It's karma, whatever you call it, is a nice thing.
I love karma, yes. So, this is a...
this coming up weekend, it's near and dear to our heart with the best... actually, it's the PWA Christmas show, but it's the best Christmas show in July. Not only do we like David Sawyer, who we've given numerous kudos and awards.
Absolutely.
Despite the fact that we test his... we've made him pull most of his hair out, but we're not going to take all the credit for that hair, or lack thereof. But PWA Holiday Charities is nice enough to be able to donate to our active clients during July and Christmas. It starts off with Lady Victoria Lust.
Lady Victoria Lust.
Yeah, boy, that just didn't sound right. LVL.
Yeah, LVL.
Marvin. Would give small stipend to people. It was kind of mad money or help with your bills or something like that.
Here's $10, you know, go, spend it on yourself, go to a movie,
make,
do something.
Make you feel good.
Yeah.
And that's why they called it the Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Something unexpected. So they help our active clients.
Mm-hmm. And they get whatever money happens to be there divided by the number of clients.
And it's not trying to be, because somebody tonight asked me how many clients you have, how much money they're getting. I can't tell you.
No.
Because I know we've talked with PWA. They look at what their finances are.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, you know, that's been anywhere from $50 to $100. We don't try to get too clinical.
That's right.
$111.12 per person. Oh, believe me, there have been people in other organizations try to split it up. I said, you know, let's just make it. Anyway.
I know.
Damn truther thing. Mm. That damn, dang, dang, dang. But because our cutoff is actually going to be this week, you never know. Somebody might pop up that's brand new. Because potentially every Tuesday, with the Cult 45s, we can have a ATF meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We basically have them.
ATF, AIDS Trouble Fund.
AIDS Trouble Fund. Yeah, not the other ATF that visits you
right at
the bars.
Mm.
I always wanted to get the jacket that said ATF on the back of it.
Oh,
I thought we would be popular at the bars when we walked in.
Yeah, right.
I got voted down. You never know.
They do that to you all the time, don't they?
Yeah, they vote me down. I got a lot of good ideas, things that stick to the wall. But anyway,
wearing that kilt was a real good idea.
It's very nice. What kilt? This little kilt right here? but PWA has been very, very good to us. And I think that we have good kinder spirits. We have worked very good recently. Mr. Don Gill, Anne Marie Gill, David Adams, and I know I'm going to miss somebody in there, John Shefchek. There's
too many.
Zillion members of
there
PWA
are.
That are quiet
are.
That you would never know, that just work their keisters off, that try to help their fellow man. And like with our Colt 45s, a lot of them are quiet, quietly back there, and we do a good job, especially around that July time and that Christmas time when it's kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah. So that's happening next weekend?
That is the 11th. Is that the 11th?
Yeah.
Next weekend. And if I were you, I'd be there. Because you never know what's going to happen at one of these events.
Oh, yeah. The entertainment is top-notch. Oh, there's entertainment?
Yeah, there's entertainment. I was talking about, you know, I do have an office upstairs.
Oh.
No,
Where's the kill?
The entertainment is not only top-notch, but, you know, when you get this diverse a group, and everybody likes to be in this event, and it's past and present this, and some people that you know that there are people at this event and a couple other events that you only see once or twice a year if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Miss Alabama would used to come out some of these, yeah. And there's some people you would say they would come out for this and maybe one or two other events, and this is one of those events that you only that you might see some people that you'll never see. So that's what kind of makes it kind of
so
nice.
So come out and see the stars.
And also
of yesteryear.
You never know when things are going to go wrong, and that's almost just as good.
Yes.
Sometimes people tip just as much, if not more, when things go a little.
That's right.
Take two. Take three, they're free.
I remember a debris number that had a skip in it one time, and the song just went on and on and on. But people tipped; it was great. You know,
and they kept
they caught it. They
and
got
they
what
kept
was going,
going
on
and on with their lip syncing performing.
I know we almost had to call an ambulance for gingivitis that night. Poor girl was just pooped out.
And Lord knows there are a lot of performers. So I mean, there's a plethora of people.
Yes,
I can say plethora on the radio. Can't
I think so.
His finger's not on the button. I can get away with
it. It's a good thing.
I'm sorry that Dennis couldn't be here tonight.
Dennis?
You were talking about the debris and Blanche.
Oh.
And I was reminiscent of a time.
Yes, I'm sorry that
reminiscent
Dennis couldn't
time
be here.
You know, Blanche couldn't be here with us.
Yes. I don't think Blanche has ever been here, to tell you the truth.
Well, she was one time.
Yeah. Oh, she was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We were talking about Ginger, and she loved the old girl.
Yes. Oh, that's the time I wasn't here, I think. Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we don't have Dennis on.
Oh, that's not
Oh, yeah.
It's too late. By the time she takes some medication. Love you. Love you, Blanche.
I think that was the problem that night. She was a little over-medicated.
Drink your juice. Drink your juice. Night-night.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of people not here, I'd like to give a shout-out to my big friend, Phil. Miss you, Phil.
Hey!
Chia Perez.
Phil Lyles, president of the Call 45.
I'll get in trouble for calling him Chia Perez. But
Chia Perez. Oh, yeah, because he's got doing that hair thing. Yeah.
And, we have Edward, you know, the quietest, most new popular vice president in, allowed by law.
Yeah, well, there's a reason he's popular.
Well, press hard, you're making three copies. Oh, sorry, did I say that? We have a lot of people that bust it that quietly with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know,
they get that. Bleed blue. For,
it's you know? Kind of the thing with the Colts. I mean, no one really knows how many members you have, and it's kind of this is a group of people that do their job. They're not in it for the glory.
We have about, and I say roughly, because we have about 10 or 12 members. But unlike a lot of, we decided as a group, and Falcon is a member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other people resign, they have to cut away when they take other jobs and other groups.
Yeah.
Being a leather Levi club and even wearing a patch, you know what the patch does. So a lot of people, patch means a lot.
Yes.
In this community, especially if you're a leather Levi group.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't see us as a leather Levi group, but trust me, you go back to the years and we are a leather group.
Yes.
Leather Levi, it means a lot to a lot of people. But we've decided that if you say, I need to take a break, we're not one of those people who said, okay, we want our patch back. We would rather you come out once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still have your patch and you still have your vest and you're still a member of our family, then say, we want this back because you can't be here every week, every day, every moment.
Mm-hmm.
And have you go away and never see you again. We'd like to have those people show up at an anniversary. Show up out of the blue and see them at a thing like the best Christmas show ever. To show up to our anniversary because we try to be inclusive as much as we can to our current members as well as people who may be on leave or people that are inactive.
Yeah. And I love the Christmas show. And the one at Christmas.
We are, if you have any input on that, we're thinking about what we're going to do. Every year at Christmas, we give out something Christmas-ish.
Mm-hmm.
They have been little miniature trees, wreaths, stockings. We're still mulling over which of the above we're going to do with that. We're kind of leaning towards stockings.
Really? You haven't done stockings? Really?
Stockings was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wreaths were always nice because you give, you know, especially if you have something to hang them on.
Yes.
Yay.
And I certainly have lots of walls and windows to hang.
Okay, well, walls can work too, but yeah. I was thinking, you know, there's other things.
Like oh.
A nice little ring toss to, that doesn't hurt.
No, he died.
Oh.
He had some ring toss, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, you do what Roy Rogers did. No, never mind. Did he just stuff trigger and...
Oh, I should have done that. Yes. It would have taken a lot of stuffing.
You know, that part of King Tut is missing. I saw that on the radio. today.
You're kidding.
Yeah, no, they said his... That was on The View. Didn't Whoopi Goldberg talk about that, where the King Tut's penis is missing?
So
he's saying yes. Merlin says yes.
Bring up a lineup.
Well, if it's where we're talking about penises, I guess Merlin would know.
Get a sketch artist. Well, you know. Well, the reason I said King Tut, because I thought, well, I did bring up penis and King Tut in the same sentence with Jimmy, because I figured if anybody knew exactly what it looked like.
Well, even though he was the boy pharaoh, supposedly, some of the rumors are that the reason why it was stolen was because he was not, unlike the... The 18-year-olds of nowadays, he was not well endowed.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Well, I thought Jimmy was actually there when it, you know, he could actually give us a description. Because Jimmy, he has been around for a while.
The only thing I've known about penis lately is I've missed an awful lot of it lately.
Can we say that on the radio? Oh, I don't want to get in trouble for this.
You can say it. You can say it. You can show it, but don't touch it.
Okay.
Oh, is that how it works?
That's what we're going with.
Yeah, I see.
Hey, that was nice. When he made the comment about the wizard behind the curtain, I held back on talking about that. Jimmy wanted to see your wizard behind your curtain there. But
yeah.
I have no recollections of those events, Mr. Chairman.
I'm not chairman. I thought it was last Louis meeting I was going to have to step
well,
in.
Well, you know.
Oh.
Vice chairman.
I see.
And what a good stepping in he did.
I'll bet he could, too.
Are you kidding me? I look like a deer in the headlights.
Didn't we learn anything from shows about giving this man a microphone? Yeah. I didn't say that out loud, but
yeah.
I thought you did a very good job.
Before or after I shoved the microphone up my
ear? Yeah. And I was glad.
That's the only place I didn't shove that microphone.
I hate to take up valuable time, but what the heck.
Yeah.
I would say that anybody who was not at the shows, it was a great great example of gay rambling that many of you don't get to actually see, that don't listen to this program. You see it during the day when you get to see the day walkers actually appear.
Yes, it was.
Lord knows after you get, you know, to 4 a.m., you don't expect to see any of these people before noon at some events, but it was a great, great nice rambling.
I was nervous as hell doing that.
I don't know why.
I'm only used to...
Because he was imagining everybody naked, and it worked against him.
No, I'm used to just doing this stuff either with a small group of people.
We're still talking about the talking on the microphone.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. I'm just either a small audience like this, and also playing off of someone.
Yeah.
When I'm left to my own, I can't... I can't do that, so...
We're not good at monologues, and we're not good in front of people.
So I had to play. I needed somebody to play off of on that, and it wasn't working.
I've seen you, and you're pretty good in front of people.
I don't mind people watching at all.
Well, okay.
Just because his favorite line comes from a Mama's the Papa song, I got down on my knees and began to pray.
I pray to the God of Priapus.
I like to thank KPFT for that. Just in case, you know, something happens to our coppers. Copper.
Copper. Copper.
Copper.
Copper feel?
Yeah. What have we got coming up?
Well, I think some of our schedules kind of opened up here because I don't see a theater group here.
Oh.
No, but the Hatch Kids are here.
The Hatchlings are here. The theater group isn't.
Wow.
We have
I know.
Which theater group?
So we have to be Stage Door.
Okay, because we've got Theater Suburbia coming next week.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to the Frog and Toad people.
I thought the Cialis Roundtable was coming up. Oh, never mind. Maybe I was. That was another.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we don't have corporate sponsorship.
There's certain quarters of Seattle I'm not welcome these days.
Oh, really?
I can't imagine. You know, they managed to clean up the Space Needle.
I mean, when you're walking around in a bathrobe going, touch me, touch me, I'm in mourning, touch me. You know, of course they're not going to.
No, I'm talking about the bitch.
Huh?
I'm talking about the bitch.
Oh.
Stanley's other ex.
You're a bit more specific than just the.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure which one you meant.
Oh.
You can sense the love between
there's so
the two.
Many in our lives these days, aren't there?
You know, when you say the bitch in this neighborhood, you've got to be a little bit more specific than
boy.
The.
Boy,
you really got to narrow that
you
down.
Can't swing a beaded purse without hitting that.
Good. God, don't you know it.
Okay.
We'll keep rambling on for a couple minutes, and we'll just go to the PSAs.
Rambling. So now we're rambling.
Yes, I beg your pardon.
Well, let's go to the phones now if you're...
You never know who's awake on
So what else is going on
weekend?
In your life these days, Stephen?
A lot of cleaning.
Oh, good.
Because I've moved a couple of times in my mind. I've had several movements, and I'm having a movement right now. But anyway...
How fortunate for us.
Yeah, I like to leave my impression wherever I go.
I see.
Let me see if I can find some Cab Calloway, you know, because he's the king of scat.
Oh, really?
Oh,
now. They don't call me Mr. Hanky for nothing.
So you've been moving, huh?
Moving and then moving back. We're going to...
Well, we're glad you're back because you were missed.
It's good to be missed sometimes.
Because we were wondering what happened. You know, it's like, oh, I haven't seen Stephen. What's going on?
Well, I've got, it happens. I hate to bring my personal life into it because Lord knows I hate to complain, especially when you work with ATF, then you see how bad some other people have it the minute you think of. But, you know, being out of work for about 4.5 months.
That really sucks the big one. Yeah.
Bored, amongst other things.
Took a different job.
Wee bit. I went from graphic arts.
Yeah.
I don't really want to tell people where I want to work because, you know, it's so diverse up there. Working at the Iron Machine Shop.
Oh.
You know, it's a little bit kind of, it's a very gay place to work.
How butch.
Yeah, you know. You think that things are flaming here. You ought to come up to see the torches up there.
So what are you doing up there?
I am doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm doing powder coating and some, a little bit of welding and a little bit of...
My dad was a welder. Yeah,
some machine, anything they pay me to do. Pretty much, I'm easy that way.
Mm.
But you know how that is.
Well, that's got to be entirely, you know,
working with metal instead of wood. It's completely different. But anyway, no, I'm just.
What would stop you from working with wood?
No.
But you had you have for years had a job that used your mind, and now you've got a job that uses your body.
Your
mind too. Because
it's just
in a different way,
a little bit different. And I know people say you're doing what? I used to have to work for a living.
I
say work for a living, I don't mean that in a bad way. But you work in some place that. Sometimes you forget that there are people that have to bust their keister every day, and they come home dirtier and tireder than we walked out.
And that's perfectly honest.
And I'll be honest, it was in that industry, it would be family is everywhere, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
And I think that's what's really kind of interesting, that family is everywhere in this city, this state, this industry.
Why should it be different than anything else? You know, we are everywhere.
And I'm not going to say what, there's, that show, there's a small show that I watch on a commercial network that says, we're everywhere. Mm-hmm. We do everything. We do. If you know what I'm talking about, it's True Blood, but it was it's a total rant by here.
No, but I'm.
We did everything. We do everything.
People have been worried about you.
Oh.
No, I'm saying this on the air. People have been worried about you because, you know,
and I'm sure Chris or you, and I, you know, I'm very uncomfortable talking about myself because
I know you are. That's why I keep bringing it up.
I do nothing but other than to take things that people give to us and make sure that nothing gets wasted. You know, I don't do any of that. I don't take credit for that. And I never thought I would get missed
Because surprise!
It's from the industry that I worked in with graphic arts. I mean, one falls and somebody, two, are going to fight over to take their place. But it's nice to for people to worry about and to wonder what the heck happened to.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just personal stuff. You know, after I don't see some people like yourself or even looking down at this paper, Don Gill with a lot of other people. I burned out after a good 12, 14 years, 4 or 5 nights a week, and I just had a personal woe, and I felt guilty about that, but I do what you can, when you can, how you can.
People's lives change, things happen. I've been away from the fundraiser scene for now a few months, but people kind of know why.
There's a little bit of a withdrawal.
And I
think all the Colt 45s, there's a lot of people that, you know, you just expect, when you have somebody that's been just do it for a long time, and the people say, it's not that people don't know, it's the they're just not used to stepping on somebody's toes and doing that job. I don't have any problem with that. The show must go on.
Your job, your former job itself was an example of community activism, and you participated in community activism on your own, not only through the cults, but through your art and in other areas. So, yeah, you were missed.
Well, I blush. Thank you.
So we're glad you're back. We hope you stay back.
Well, you know, maybe there's...
And whatever job you end up doing, I hope it's the one you want.
I'm doing a good job now.
Good.
It's a lot of fun. It's hot, sweaty, and...
Ooh, yeah,
Lord knows,
I know.
I've only lost 35 pounds in this Texas heat and humidity.
Wipe your chin, Jimmy.
Anyway, we've got to do some PSAs, don't we?
Yes, you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
The Cuba Solidarity Committee invites you to a party. We have prepared a party for you to share friendship, solidarity, and support for the Pastors for Peace humanitarian aid to the people of Cuba.
All year long, you have worked tirelessly for justice and peace. Couldn't it be incredible to take a break to party and dance in support of a noble cause?
This is your chance.
Wear your dancing shoes and bring lots of energy.
Enjoy a night of music, food, and dance.
Vengan todos a bailar y divertirse.
Saturday, July 10th. From 7 to 11 p.m.
at the Houston Institute for Culture, 708 Telephone Road.
For more info, call Ayana at 832-704-1007. Brought to you by the Cuba Solidarity Committee.
KPFT, Houston.
Solo tengo la luna, no tengo ni esa fortuna, pero me sobra cariño y me
Family Promised in Southeast Harris County is holding a fundraiser at both Casa Olays in Pasadena on Friday, July 16th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Contact Hank at Family Promise at 281-991-1084 to get your flyer for the fundraiser. A portion of your bill will go to Family Promise's work with homeless families. Get your flyer and come hungry. KPFT, Houston.
Together they give you all that's mine. You showed me God with the courage in your eyes, and heroes live in more than myths and at times sorry rhymes. All I have is a humble song and two arms to hold you tight.
Romanofsky and Phillips with Brave Voice. And we did kind of a Romanofsky and Phillips show a couple weeks ago. That's one of the songs that didn't make the cut. And so I want to make sure I got that in there. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on KPFT Houston. It's time now for the Hatch program.
Yay!
Take it away.
Hi, my name is Lakia.
I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Brendan, one of the volunteers for the Hatch program.
And this is the Hatch Hour.
Woo.
And some minutes.
And some minutes.
Yeah, usually some minutes.
Some minutes.
All right. So I guess we're going to start by letting you guys know what Hatch is. Hatch is an organization for GLBT youth here in Houston and the Houston area, ages 13 to 20. And we meet 3 days a week. We meet on Tuesdays from 5 to 9. We meet on Fridays from 7 to 10, and on Sundays from 6 to 9.
On Tuesdays, we meet at 5, like she said, and from 5 to 6 is, like, social hour. We meet up, we talk about our week, what's going on. And then from 6 to 7, part of the group leaves and goes to another group, which is called Transgender Group, which is for the trans kids and the Hatch Youth. And while they're having their group, social hour continues for the kids who don't have to talk about trans issues or don't have that affecting their lives. And continues social hour. And then from 7 to 9, we have kind of art hour. I don't think we've given it a name yet, or two
creative
hours.
Expression hour.
Hours. 2 hours.
Hours of creative expression.
Yes. We do writing exercises. We have forums. We talk about things. And sometimes we do art. Sometimes we...
Sometimes we do improv.
Sometimes we write.
You know, it's just kind of a couple, 2 hours to just express ourselves in different mediums. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Fridays and Sundays, there's just the regular schedule, which is first hour is social hour. The second hour is program hour. It'll usually be maybe an education hour, or we'll have a speaker come in, or we'll just do an activity, you know, something that's pretty fun. And then the last hour is small group, and that's where we break off into a small group, and people can talk about things that are affecting their lives, pressing issues, or, you know, just get some stuff off their chests. So that's Hatch in a nutshell. Yep. And if you need to find any information about Hatch or anything like that, you can go to www.hatchyouth.org. Or if you're lazy like me, you can just Google Hatch, and we're pretty much first thing that pops up. Or you could call our lovely Hatch line, and the number for that is 713-529-3590. And we're going to give that number away again at the end of the hour. And then there's the switchboard, the gay and lesbian switchboard, which we can also give you the number for. It's 713-529-3211. And you can call that number anytime you have an emergency or someone you need to talk to or anything dire like that.
Or if you just want to know a good place to eat.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean,
it could be as simple as that.
Yeah. One of the things that Hatch is actually also adding on to our normal schedule for the summer months is the movie marathon. Or kind of we get to see different movies that, you know, our age range don't get to see or are hard to find, like Amy and Jaguar or Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, or just all these movies that are...
Part
of gay history. You know, you don't just go to a Blockbuster and say, oh, I want to see that, because it's not really there. They're harder to find.
You know, there used to be a gay and lesbian film festival years ago. I don't think they're doing that
anymore. No, they still do.
Oh, do they?
They still run it every year.
Wow, I'm out of touch.
It's coming up, isn't it?
In September? October?
Yeah, I remember seeing something about one of the movies.
Oh, man.
It doesn't even get the publicity that it used
to. No, it doesn't get the publicity that it used to.
Yeah, and I'm usually...
Find out here real quick.
I know that they still run it and everything. Deb talks to me about it a lot because I'm really, really into gay and lesbian cinema.
Right.
I love to watch everything that's new out or you know, what I can get my hands on.
Sure, of course.
So, like, The Kids Are Alright. We just went to see a preview screening of that. I like to see anything like that. And so having
a
film festival... Yeah, it's a good movie. Having a film festival in our Hatch and also going to the one... Is also like one of my favorite.
Is The Kids All Right? Is that a coming of age type of film?
It's a film, and it's not to like give away the plot or anything. It's about a lesbian couple. They have a family, and them kind of coming to terms with the sperm donor of their children coming into their life.
Oh,
yeah, very interesting story. It's a good movie, good acting. It's rated R, so it's not for everybody. So.
Yeah. I would definitely say it's rated R for a reason.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's a good film. It's a really good film.
But yeah, when did you find out the film festival?
They don't have any new information up. You can go to q-fest.org.
Q.
And last thing that's updated was from February of 2010.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's a long time ago.
We do. They did. Houston still does run one every year.
And I used to go to that every year, and just the last 3 or 4 years, I just haven't.
Man,
it's not been on my radar.
I don't know if it's the one here or the one in Austin, but there is a queer film festival coming up, and there's an amazing, amazing documentary that's going to be in it called March On. And so if you hear anything about the festival and you want to go, look up a documentary called March On. It's going to be awesome. I don't really know completely 100% like everything that's in it, but some individuals I know are going to be in it. And
wow.
It's about, it was about the march in D.C. last
right.
October, and kind of people's story and why they wanted to go, why they're marching, what they fight for. And it's just really, really awesome. And I ended up meeting some of those people in D.C. and Austin a month ago, and it's just really, really awesome movie. So big ups to March On. Look for it. It's going to be awesome. I have a March On t-shirt, actually, and I wish I had more of them because they're really cool and colorful.
You know, you won a GLBT Leadership Award, National Award, not mm-hmm. too long ago. We've talked about it. Have you kept up with any of those people? Do you guys have, like, a little social network of recipients that you guys talk about?
No, I actually tried to find some of the former recipients of the award on Facebook. One of them has a Twitter. One of them I can't really find. And the rest of them, I just couldn't find very much on them. But, like, as far as like the local GLBT community, there's a lot. There's a pretty huge network. Just not even just like Houston, just like Texas wide of GLBT activists. Which also shout out to Nani because she told me to shout out to her. She's an activist who goes to Texas Tech and she's really, really involved and amazing. And yeah, there's a really amazing activist network, and it's not hard to tap into. It really isn't, and it's not hard to get involved and just jump in. So it's pretty awesome. Anyone can get involved. If you like, if you're at all interested in GLBT activism, just in Texas or statewide, just go to eaatexas.org, and you'll find plenty of information there, local groups you can hook up with, and it's pretty awesome. It's good stuff.
Back to what I was saying, though, is it's going to be on Tuesdays, starting early in the afternoon. I'm not sure what the start time is because it's going to be before Tuesday Hatch, which starts at 5. We'll be running two back-to-back movies from film history of the GLBT community, as well as some of the newer stuff. But mostly it's about showing movies that, you know, you don't can't find very easily.
Sure. What kind of stands out for you?
Well, Amy and Jaguar, it's a very hard movie to find. I've never been able to find it in stores or online even. But, you know, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, there's a lot of movies on the list. And I've only been able to see a little bit of the list because Deb's still kind of putting it together.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of movies that have a lot of, like, meaning to our community.
Sure.
So.
And we've done this before in the past, and I like the fact that we do bring in a lot of documentary type of films mm-hmm. within our film, our little homegrown film festival mm-hmm. that we have at Hatch. And one that I recall, I don't know if either of you guys got to see it, there was this girl, and she was going to Texas Tech. Or no, she was in Lubbock, I'm sorry. They were in high school. And they were transitioning, you know, it was one of those programs where you get active right before you graduate, and then that kind of takes you on to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her struggles with, she was trying to make condoms available, educate her age group about the importance of safe sex and what those consequences could be if you don't engage in safe sex. If you're having sex. But anyway, it was great. And the GLBT theme was a backdrop to the documentary. But, I mean, it was a powerful piece. I mean, mm-hmm. they're real people, real situations. And, you know, you get a lot from that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From the film festival that Hatch is having, like, one of the ones that really stand out to me is Philadelphia.
Oh, yes.
I love that movie, like, to pieces. It's really amazing. Denzel Washington, Tom Hanks, just really... It really opened a lot of eyes.
It really did. I mean, gosh, I mean, that was just how many years ago? 15, maybe?
Maybe.
10, perhaps?
More than 10. It was about 15, 20, maybe.
Okay. I mean, look how far the situation is
mm-hmm.
since that movie was made. Not only culturally and what's going on in the media, but also how far HIV medication and treatment has gotten and advanced just in that short amount of time.
Mm. And education and just how people with HIV and AIDS are treated, you know? Like, they're not so much treated as, like, just... people who got the disease because they deserved it and they did something wrong and, you know, you can't touch them, you can't be near them, you can't work with them kind of thing. They're treated like people.
Well, and then, you know, in the early days of the disease, you know, especially among the communities that weren't directly affected, there just wasn't enough information. People didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were in the community, you knew how it was transmitted more or less we knew more about the disease. But a lot of people who weren't in the community didn't know. So, you know, there was a lot of fear. And just it's amazing how far... I mean, we still have a long way to go, obviously, in both respects, in respects to HIV treatment and the way still discrimination happens and people are still viewed differently.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still certainly a long way to go. But that gives you an interesting moment in time
mm-hmm.
where you can see... how things were, what it was like, and that's what movies do so well, I think.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen the movie, so I'm looking forward to seeing it in the film festival as well. But yeah,
there were a lot more. There was a Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah, Boys Don't Cry.
I haven't seen that, but I hear it's really powerful. And I'm really excited.
It is a very, very powerful movie. When I first saw it, I actually had trouble watching it because of the truth behind what happens to the characters, and you know how people view being transgender, and still it's very not okay. Even in the community, sometimes there's stuff that happens. And it's just very complicated. So it's a good movie, and it's very dramatic and very, very heart-wrenching.
Well, and this whole transgender issue among the greater community is one of those things that people don't get. They don't understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I was talking to my mom about this I think it's now been 3 years since my first friend who is transgender, and started discussing it with my mom and my family. And there's a lot of education out there for gay people.
Right.
And it's very out there, and, you know, we're in the media, we're in everything. And when my mom met my friend, she didn't know anything about it. It wasn't something that was discussed or a topic that was shown everywhere. It was very, you know, you had to know somebody or...
That's right. And, you know, there's still confusion over, is a transgendered person just a drag queen? Those are completely different.
They're under the same umbrella. Like, when you say transgender, there's an umbrella, and drag kings and queens fall under that umbrella. But they're not the same as being transgendered or intersex or any of the other words that are put in there for people, because they're... Each one has a very specific meaning. I think also the biggest thing I had a discussion with my mom was being transgender and what you're attracted to being two different things.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that is
I
so
have
true.
That conversation so often now because I have so many trans friends.
Right.
And it's this big conversation. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, that is a separate thing.
Right.
You know, female to male, male to female. That's their sex, not what they're attracted to.
Right.
That is so just completely over some people's heads.
It's really
ridiculous. Like, some people just cannot just, like, it's like they just are incapable of comprehending
it. Well, I think one way to get people to perhaps understand it is to realize your sexual identity, who you are, has a lot to do with your mind, mentally. Where's your point of reference? Who are you inside? Your soul or your spirit, whatever that is, and that's different. And that can be different than what your outside anatomy is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are completely different things. And it's an interesting dynamic because you can have someone who is born female. Physically, but feels like they're a man.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a transgendered female to male.
Mm-hmm.
That just might still be attracted to men and see themselves as a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, you know, people have a hard enough time with the concept of transgendered, what that means.
Well,
but when you start. I guess looking at the combinations and the attraction, understanding it's a mental thing, it's not necessarily just physical, then, you know, people don't understand.
Yeah, well, one of my really, really good friends, Cody, he's female to male. He's a straight man.
Right.
You know, that's what he is. He's a man who is straight. He likes women.
Right.
Some people, you know, talk about how he's gay, a lesbian, and he's a man. Like, no, he's a guy.
Right.
And he likes women. This is not complicated.
Right.
But it's still, like, it always ends up being a very, very long conversation to explain the dynamic and the understanding of separation between sex and sexuality.
Yeah, and it's not just female to male. It's to gay male, perhaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. As well as male to female.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All kinds of combinations.
I don't know. I think this is one of the oddest things about me is that, you know, the percentage in population for female to male is a lot lower than male to female, right? I know way more female to males than I do male to females.
You know, I think it's becoming more accepted as an option. I think people who may have in the past been transgendered, been female to or female to male, may not have ever even seen that as a viable option for them. So they didn't identify as such.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the fact that it is more common, it's more discussed, it's more out in the open, then people are realizing, hey, that's really what I am.
It is, especially since testosterone being added to the equation has made transition a lot easier. I mean, it's a lot easier to pass when you're taking testosterone.
Yeah, female to male is easier to pass.
Female to male is much easier to pass.
Yeah, that's true.
So a lot of it's also been because a lot of people who have been transitioning kind of don't put that out there. Because once you get done with transition, it's very hard to tell.
You know, it's a very important topic. And it's important enough, and these are big decisions. I mean, when you start on hormone therapy, either way, female to male, male to female, there are important physical changes that are happening. And I think it is very important before those type of things take place, before you seek out some type of hormonal treatment, that you get some type of counseling.
Oh, well, any doctor will make you bring in a therapist's recommendation to prescribe, because it is something that's you have to talk about. You have to confirm in your mind and with somebody else that this is what's happening. You have to discuss it.
Because there are physical changes that may not be reversible once you go down that path. And then if you're going to go down that path, I think it's very, very important for you to have had a period where you consider it, you think about it, you've lived with it, the idea of it, and you've had an opportunity to discuss with professionals who know this topic.
Yeah, and not only when you finally get to taking testosterone, to be in a medical program with the testosterone, because testosterone messes with kidney function and hormone levels all across the board. So when you do start taking testosterone, once you've gone through that process, make sure you're getting regular checks for your kidney function and other.
It's a dangerous thing.
It is very, very dangerous.
To seek this type of medication
without
the
medical help.
That's right.
Without being in a program or without having a doctor's assistance, it is very, very dangerous.
The options today are not like they were many years ago. There are people in the medical profession who know what they're doing, who specialize in this type of area, and can do this the right way.
Every session, every process that you go through, from identifying to getting therapy to getting onto testosterone to getting chest surgery, has been very much so increased in the profession, like in the doctor's profession, of understanding it and knowing how to work with it. So it's not like you have to go underground to find anyone.
That said, there is a subculture that does provide this type of drugs, hormonal replacement therapy, without the supervision of a doctor. And it is. It's extremely dangerous. And if anybody out there feels like they might be transgendered and might be considering this,
go to MCC.
That's right. Seek
go
out.
To MCC.
There are vehicles, there are resources in this community that can help you do that.
Go to the Trans Center, go to MCC, go somewhere where there are people who can point you in the right direction and get you people to help you. You don't have to do this without assistance. There are people out there who can guide you through the process, help you understand what you're doing, help you understand the transition and whether or not it's for you.
Right.
So don't ever think that this is something you have to go through alone.
I mean, and this is a very important and topical issue. How big is our transgendered group with Hatch?
It ranges on the day.
Sure.
We do get quite a few, and there have been a few that have hatched out.
Yeah.
And,
you know, and this is, quite frankly, this is something that a person, and I hate to say this, because how many times have you been told it's a phase?
Oh.
You being a lesbian is a phase.
Yes,
you being gay is a phase. You being bi is a phase. And it's not a phase. This is who I am. So we've all been through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it is a phase. Sometimes someone may be experimenting with same-sex relationships, may try to kiss a girl, and like the song, I Kissed a Girl.
Like it.
I mean, that does happen.
Yeah.
And it can be that if somebody does believe they may be transgendered, that could be a phase too. That's why it's so important to seek out professional help before you make permanent decisions.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely anybody who's thinking about being, that they are trans or thinking that they might be, go to MCC, go to the trans community, the center, and talk to somebody. Get somebody to help you with the process and see if it's right for you, because it's a very long and tedious process. It's a very life-changing, body-altering process, so...
Mind-changing
as well. I mean, once you start testosterone, your mind changes a lot. And I've had three friends start testosterone while I've known them, and you watch them change, and their bodies change as well as their mind, and, you know.
It's crazy.
It is. The first couple months of a female to male on testosterone is interesting because they're starting to understand and adjust to the testosterone. Their hormones in sexuality change quite a bit.
Right.
As well as their aggression for a little while, because their body's not used to the level, and so it takes 6 to 8 months to level.
Right.
So, it's a very, very big process that you should be with somebody and have somebody helping you through.
Right.
So, yay.
Yeah, I've told one of my trans friends that we actually shouldn't hang out while he's initially starting T, because he's kind of a butthead.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he's going to be an even bigger butthead. And I'm just like, you're going to be a butthead.
See, I gave one of my friends his first shot, and I didn't want to see him for a good 5 months after that, just because of how much it changes them. But after that, he was cool. He's back to the normal him. It's just, for the first couple months, it's very, ooh.
Well, yeah, you're
an adjusting.
Adolescent.
Yeah, you're back to being a 13-year-old boy.
Yay, puberty!
And your body's going, ooh, look at this!
Right.
And you got to get past that 13-year-old boy stage. But they do, and it does definitely change physically and mentally somebody's aspect.
Mm. Well, gosh, I mean, we just had it's been a big month for Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for some of you, it may have been your first or second Pride Parade.
Yeah, this was my third, but when we got to lineup, there was, how many of us? About 20?
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. There was about 20 of us when we got to lineup. The court was there, which is the prom court from last month.
Right.
I was king. Alex was prince.
No,
queen,
yes,
V was queen, and then Alex Brown. I'm sorry, I confused Max
Alex
and Alex.
Brown was princess.
Was princess.
Max was prince.
Was prince, yes.
You were king.
And V was queen.
And V was queen.
Yes, it gets very confusing sometimes. But, no, that was prom court, and all of prom court was at the parade, as well as about 20 youth, which is actually the biggest turnout I've seen in about 3 years. I've been to 3 Pride parades since I've joined Hatch, and it was really cool, because when we got to lineup, Dez asked everyone to raise their hand who this was their first time, and only about 4 of us didn't raise our hands.
Right. That's great.
Because we'd been before, and it was just like this first experience for them, and it was really great to see them, you know, getting really excited when we were walking and having a lot of fun, and, you know, the yelling and having, you know, the first experience at Pride.
Sure.
And we talked to a couple of them after Pride. We hung out on the street for a little while watching the rest of the parade. And they really enjoyed it and kind of got a new aspect on what Pride really was.
Now, you were at the parade.
I was at the parade. I was walking with another group. I was walking with EAA Houston, which was pretty fun.
What's EAA Houston?
EAA Houston is like a local chapter of the national EAA organization, or like it's like a network of organizations. And it's an activist group. And so for our entry, we kind of recreated a protest scene. We had signs and we were yelling chants, which I love to yell, and I got to hold the mini megaphone for a while, which I so very much enjoy. And so it was good fun. I kind of felt like I was going to throw up at one point. That was because I was dehydrated, and I didn't eat, like, almost all day. I had, like, one taco from Taco Bell, and it's kind of itty-bitty. And so I was, like, feeling kind of nauseous. But, I mean, it was fun. It was great fun.
It was pretty awesome. But yeah, I love chanting, and so we did like some, what do we want? Equality. When do we want it? Now. And some, hey, hey, ho, ho, homophobia's got to go. And so it was great. It was awesome.
That's great.
My day was actually pretty long. I started off at 10 a.m. We had to go get the vehicle cleaned up and ready to get decorated. We put flags on it and little sticky thingies to make it look fun. And it was my truck, so people got to ride in the bed that weren't able to walk because we had a few people that were sick or weren't feeling very well. And then I went to the festival, which actually was a lot of fun because
I didn't do the festival this year.
You get to see a lot of the groups in Houston, but one of my favorite things about the festival is you get to see people you haven't seen in a very long time.
And you get free things.
You do get free things. They had Washington Mutual there doing health checkups. They had, you know, water so people didn't get dehydrated. There was a lot of giveaways from different companies to promote them. But I think my favorite thing about the festival is just seeing people that you haven't seen in a long time. I talked to people I hadn't seen in years.
Right.
And that's, I think, kind of a community, kind of block party type thing, is just to see each other.
So would you guys do the, how many more pride parades do you guys think you are going to go to?
Depends on how long I live.
Yeah,
I mean,
same for me.
I don't plan on missing any.
This year was Deb's landmark. It was 30 years. 30 years, Deb had been going to pride parades.
So pride parades are important to you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, when I went to my job and told them I wasn't going to work on pride parade, my manager looked at me and goes, of course, it's a gay holiday.
It's like Christmas
it's like
for the gays.
Christmas for the gays. He's like, of course you're not going to work
gay
that day.
Christmas, yeah.
And I was like, yay. Of course, my day ended up a little funnier than it should have been. I ended up spraining, fracturing, and breaking part of my ankle.
She's broken.
Well, I know you have a cast. I didn't realize it was that day it happened.
Yeah, it was the night of Pride Parade. After we had finished walking, some of my friends, who, again, I hadn't seen in a while, were standing a couple blocks back. And somebody mentioned that they saw them when we were walking, and I was focusing on the left side of the parade route, and they were standing on the right side of the parade route. So when they said that they were on the right across from Cassius, I was like, I'm going to go say hi to them. And I walked across and got to them, and one of my friends was standing there, Jude, and I stepped down to say hi. Concrete was not where it was supposed to be.
Wow.
And ended up spraining, fracturing, and breaking one of my bones in my ankle. So, I'm walking around in a cast right now. Just fun. But, it was Pride Parade night, so I didn't let that ruin my fun. Yeah, I just stayed off my leg.
Yeah, we went swimming after the parade.
Yeah.
So,
I went the next morning to the hospital, and they gave me all my,
Yeah, you should stuff. You should have gone straight to the hospital.
Well, I really... At that point, I had already braced it because I knew what had happened. But right. Also, it was Pride night, and can you imagine the hospitals on a Saturday night... After Pride Parade.
Still.
I was only in the hospital for 30 minutes.
Well, that's good.
No, you were not. Oh, my God. Me and Richard were with you. We were there for at least 2 or 3 hours.
We were not there 2 or 3 hours.
Yes, we were.
We got there at
we didn't get back home until 7 a.m.
Okay, so 2 hours. Because we got there at 5. Remember my check-in time.
We got there at 5. I didn't go to bed until 7 in the morning, okay?
That's 2 hours, Sadie.
Yes, that's 2 hours, not 30 minutes. There's a big old difference there. Let's not lie to the people of Houston.
But
well,
no, I was
that.
Seen a lot faster than if I had gone that actual, like, at the time I did my ankle.
We got on Facebook. Like, there were computers in the clinic. We're like, we're just going to get on Facebook.
But it was a great night. And it was also one of Deb's... What is Dez's name, like, work name? D-Dub's work name, like, what's her title at Hatch? Program assistant. Program assistant. It was her first time at Pride as well.
Oh, that's fun.
So she got to kind of not really experience Pride all that much because she was working, but she got to experience after Pride because by the time she got back to the route, it was over. But, yeah, it was pretty cool to see a lot of new faces, like, experience Hatch and prom and Pride and all the other stuff that we've had this month.
June's a busy month for the gays, man.
June is a very busy month for the gays. There have been so many, like, events and organization events and, oh.
And still happening.
Oh, yeah, and it's still going. And we have the 4th of July stuff going on tomorrow.
Woo-woo.
Oh. It's a busy summer. It's a busy summer.
It is a really busy summer. I'm excited about the summer, though. And I was really excited about this weekend because, like, my parents came into town. And I was, like, really psyched because we were supposed to, like, go to San Antonio and go to this resort and do all this crazy stuff. And I thought my parents were going to get in Friday. Maybe I just wasn't listening at all. But they came in. They got here today. And my mom told me we weren't going to San Antonio. And I was like, well, that's cool. So, I'm just wondering, like, are we just going to sit around and look at each other? I mean, that'd be cool, too, because I haven't seen them in, like, forever.
Yeah.
Like, I saw my mom when I went to D.C. in March or April, one of the two. But I hadn't seen my dad in, like, months, and I hadn't seen my grandma in forever. And I hadn't seen my nephew in, like, 2 years, and so he's visiting.
Right.
And we're all visiting. And it occurred to me a long time ago that I wouldn't have a place to sleep. Because obviously I'm going to give up my bed to my grandmother, but my nephew is sleeping on the couch. And so I'm like, where am I sleeping? And of course, you know, no one thought this was an issue until tonight. Like, where's Kia going to sleep? And so here I am in the middle of the night.
Not sleeping.
That's pretty much how it goes. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to see my family. It was really weird to see all of us in one spot. We don't do that too often.
Now, where are they at? Where do they live?
My mom and dad live in Tennessee, Clarksville, Tennessee. That's where I graduated from high school. My grandma lives in she lives in Evansville, Indiana, and my nephew lives in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
So does everyone know your...
Not really. My grandma doesn't. And it was actually really funny because Richard was with me. We were eating pizza earlier and someone called me and I didn't want to talk to that someone. And like I got off the phone really quickly and she's like, who is that? And I was like, I was talking to Richard and I was saying how annoyed I was that he had called me and he was talking to me. And she's like, oh, is that a boy trying to talk to you? And I was like, no, grandma.
Well, you know, grandparents are different. Sometimes you have to make special considerations for grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's been a topic many times before. So did you actually have to go through your place and take down posters remove books or movies or anything like that?
I don't have anything particularly incriminating in my room. I do have a lot of rainbow flags, and I think I only left, like, one or two of them out. But, like, it felt really bad to have to go through my room and take my stuff down.
Sure, of course.
Like,
it
felt like I was ashamed of myself, and I'm not. And so it was really icky. And then, like, when I went to DC, I got like a big pretty plaque, and it has like a little rainbow, and it has, you know, like a medal on it, and it says, you know, GLBT Resource Center from American University, blah blah blah, recipient of awesome award. And I was like, I'm not gonna put this in my closet. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm really, really proud of this. Like,
and you should be.
I'm really proud of this, and I'm not going to hide it from my grandmother because that's ridiculous. And so it's still sitting on my dresser, and she's sleeping in my room, so she can very clearly see it. And I'm not too concerned about it because, you know, I mean, I understand, I guess, just kind of not trying to freak out my grandmother. But at the same time, I don't want to have to shove my achievements in the closet.
Right.
Because I'm really proud of it. And my mom was really proud of me when, you know, we went to go receive the award. And my grandmother was proud of me, too. Granted, I'm pretty sure she didn't know what the award was for, but she was just happy that, you know, I won something. And so I just felt really wrong just taking it down, so I left it up. So,
Wow, I mean, that's an important step.
Oh, we had talked about my family in the past and my grandparents. Have I told you about my mom's mother?
What's her name?
Helen. I've talked in the past about my family and how I've come out kind of to my direct family. I've come out to my mom and my dad and my sister and my aunt and stuff like that. And on my mom's side, my aunts and uncles all know I'm gay, and my nieces and nephews do. But my grandparents on my mom's side don't really know. But in the last 2 months, my grandmother requested to be my friend on Facebook.
Oh, yes, the Facebook issue.
And I had talked about that and how, like, I wasn't sure if I was going to accept the friendship because I don't keep my sexuality hidden on my Facebook.
Right.
I don't flaunt it, but I don't hide it.
Right.
And finally, my aunt just said, just accept her. She's not really going to pay attention. So I did. And about a month not a month ago, about 3 weeks ago, my grandmother called my mom. This was after prom, after me and drag, at prom, the pictures of me and drag and prom that I was tagged in.
Right.
She asked my mom if there was anything that I had to tell her, if and that she'd be okay with whatever I had to tell her.
You know, I don't think we give grandparents enough credit.
I was really shocked that my grandmother said, if she has anything to tell me, I'm going to be okay with it. Because this is my right, like my really Republican and Baptist grandmother. And she said to my mother that if your daughter has anything to tell me, we'll be okay with it. And I was kind of, my jaw hit the floor, and I sat there for a second going, this is a woman I haven't talked to in a very long time,
right.
And she's going to be okay with me.
Lakey, you may be having the same conversation very soon.
And it's not even like I'm so terribly concerned. Like, I honestly, you know, like, I know how, I more or less know how my grandma knows, how she feels about, you know, gay people. And, it's, you know, it's kind of worrisome because I've seen her talk about other gay relatives, and it was not nice, the things that she said.
It's harder to do that when you love someone in there in your family. If she's already talking that way about other relatives, that makes it harder, but she may not be as close to them as she is to you.
Yeah, but it's not even that I'm so concerned with dealing with her. It's that I'm concerned with my parents because I don't feel like my parents have fully dealt with it yet.
Right.
And so that's, you know, and I realize by outing myself, I'm outing them in a way. I don't know if they're ready to deal with that. So, I don't know. Like, I honestly wouldn't mind telling my grandmother. It would make things a lot more interesting at my house, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by leaving your plaque out, you certainly invite the discussion. You also take away the control of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she finds it, she's going to make some conclusions, perhaps. And there's going to be speculation, discussion without you there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've lost a little bit of that control.
I think,
but she may not find it. She may not find it. I mean, she may not notice it.
Well, yeah, I mean, her eyesight's not too good. And it, she would have to read the plaque. Richard, you are horrible. She would have to read the plaque to actually see. But there's, like, a little rainbow ribbon on it. So, I don't know. I mean, what little girl doesn't like rainbows? But whatever.
That's true.
I mean, that might not be the automatic conclusion she comes to, is rainbows equals gay. But, you know, I don't know. I couldn't take it down. Like, I felt really horrible doing that. And, I don't know, I would really like to have a better discussion with my parents about it. Like, my mom and dad, like, we don't talk about it, like, at all. Like, it's kind of horrible. Like, we don't ever talk about it. And I like to, but I don't know if they're ready for that. I don't know if they can handle that. I don't know, like, because we don't really we just don't talk in my family, like, at all.
Sure.
About anything. Talking is not something we do, and so either way, it's going to be a very emotional.
Well, they're the parents,
yeah.
And if you, as the child, have issues that you need to talk about, then there's some inherent obligation there,
yeah,
for them
I suppose
to listen. But you have to be careful. And we've talked about this in Hatch, so, and actually, they mention it on the KPFT After Hours intro,
mm-hmm,
that sometimes, depending on where you're at in life, you cannot come out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had Hatch kids say, if my dad finds out that I'm gay, I'll be kicked out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it. We've had Hatch kids been kicked out of the house before. Some of you guys have put some of them up in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had people say, gosh, if my parents find out, my college fund is cut off, and I won't be able to pay for college anymore. So there are situations where, because of where we're at, and sometimes work,
mm-hmm,
the environment isn't such that if you come out that you're either safe or that your job will be secure. So there are reasons not to come out, and they're good ones. So you just have to weigh all of that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Think you're going to discuss it this weekend?
I wanted to. But that's where I knew my grandma was coming, and so that just kind of throws a monkey wrench into the whole situation, you know?
Kind of does.
You probably won't notice that your gay flag's around there.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Grandma?
I'm sure she won't, baby.
Okay.
No, she won't. No.
Very much
not observant.
But you know what? It was important for you to do that. You know, it was important for you to say, this is who I am, I'm leaving it up, and I'm not taking it down. I don't know if you realized that that was an important moment for you, but it really was.
Mm. But yeah, Elizabeth's nodding at me. I don't know what she wants.
Oh, we had one more subject to talk about
tonight. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's really exciting.
It's also very saddening.
It's very sad.
This is a sad subject for me because in about a month and a half, I will be hatching out. And this year...
And what does hatching out mean?
Well, hatch is for the... It means I'm old? I'm not old.
That's rude.
Richard, am I old?
No, baby.
Okay, I didn't think I... Well, old.
Hey, I was about to say I'm not old.
She pointed at Brendan and called
she sure
him
did.
Old.
My parents aren't old. Come on. No, he's older.
Oh, okay. I can...
You're older.
That's fine.
But no, it's... Hatch is for the ages of 14 to 20, and when you turn 21, you hatch out, which means that you're no longer able to come to the group because there is the age limit on the
group.
You're
kicked out.
You're kicked out. They do kick you in the ceremony.
We do, don't we?
Not hard. Not hard. Well, this year is my last year. I've been going to Hatch for about 3 years, and... It was also the last year for some of the other people who remember the church. And this is why it's been kind of a hard year for me.
Right, yeah, that's right.
AJ is one of our good friends, and he started back when the church was in as well as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched a lot of the kids who were in Hatch at the church time.
Yeah. Hatch used to meet at a church.
Yeah, before we got Montrose Counseling Centers at 401 Bernard, the room that we have now, we used to meet at a church behind Nico Nico's.
Secret location.
Very, very secret location.
No one knew where Hatch was unless you were in Hatch.
Yes, unless you were in Hatch or called. You couldn't find it.
Right.
I actually got lost my first night because I didn't get very good information on where I was going.
That's great.
But it was very, very secret. And we used to meet at a church, and it was a very different atmosphere.
It really was.
When you came in, you came into this great hall, and, you know, we had all the tables set up, and it was very homey still.
Mm-hmm,
and then you would go to small group in a separate room, which was in the back, and, you know, there was a very different atmosphere, and there was only so many of us that remembered it, and in the last 2 years, I've seen everybody else from the church hatch out.
Right.
And I'm the last one to be hatching out this year who remembers the church.
Yeah.
And who remembers how Hatch was back then and how we moved. And I was involved in the move and packing and all the stuff. And so me and Deb were reminiscing, and a couple of the ex-Hatch youth as well as the last one that just hatched out, who remembers the church, we're talking, and I think it's a very big year for Hatch and hatching out because, you know, Lakia's hatching out as well.
Deuces.
And we have a couple other friends at Hatch that are also hatching out.
And you guys, you two in particular, over the last, I don't know, 18 months, have been really key to this radio show and have really been a part of some of the really good segments that we've had.
I'm so sad.
I'm sad, too.
I'm sad. You know, I've been involved in 3 proms, in 3 pride parades, in 3, you know, major sessions of summer and programs in summer. And I was involved in when Tuesday nights first started and what they became when they started. You know, there's a lot of really, really good memories for me at Hatch. And to have, in late August... not to have that anymore has been very, very... I don't know. We were talking about it one day, me and Deb, and it was a sad moment because I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't really thought about the fact that I was leaving.
Right.
And that I wasn't going to be able to come back.
Right.
And during that conversation, it kind of hit me that on August 26th of this year will be my last...
I don't think people realize how important Hatch is for you guys who are really involved in it.
Yeah, to be as involved as a lot of us have been, it's a really hard thing to lose. So, but we have a big year of hatching out, and one of the things that I've been thinking about is that, you know, at the end of August, I will no longer have Hatch, but I still want to have a group to go to, something to get involved in, and there are a lot of groups to get involved in. There's a lot of activities. Every city is one of them.
Definitely.
There's at the community center, there's a lot of sports activities to get involved in. And I love sports.
HRC, Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce,
Houston Pride Band.
There's so many things to get involved in. One of our friends, AJ, actually got involved in volunteering at Montrose Counseling Center.
That's right.
And I'm thinking about doing that as well. Mm-hmm. PFLAG is also there. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot to do. It's also very sad that there's nothing kind of like what Hatch is.
Right.
There's no groups that are the way Hatch is built.
Right.
And I'd actually been talking about starting a group at Montrose Counseling Center for Hatch youth or people who are hatched out, as well as, you know, other people to come in that are in that age range. So, thinking about doing that, which is
And years ago, there was a group called 20-something for GLBT 20, you know, people in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it's been since that disbanded, but... And it sounds like this is not exactly a 20-something group that you want to put together, but...
You know,
I think Hatch, I don't think, does a very good job of tracking our youth that have move on.
You want to know something interesting about that comment?
Yeah.
We just received a phone call from a listener in Colorado.
Oh.
Wow.
Who is one of the, he says he's one of the original hatchlings.
Oh, great.
Hi. Wow.
From back at the church.
We heard you.
Trish, I think it's Trish Martin, one of the founding members. He was worked with her at the beginning. It was a straight woman who just wanted to help gay kids.
Is it Novotny?
I thought I said Martin. I may have been mistaken. But if you were right, then someone there knew it better than I. I told him to send me the information about that, and I'd be glad to pass it on to the hatchlings. But is there anything you're talking about, you know, not knowing much about the success stories of the past hatchlings? And here I am getting a phone call. That's why I was beaming when I saw this. Like, first of all, a listener that's from out of state.
Yeah, that's great.
Who was... you know, one of the original hatchlings.
That's awesome.
Now they're listening to us on an iPhone app.
That's great.
That's spiffy, man.
That's spiffy.
That is amazing.
So high tech.
I told myself, definitely we'll get some more information about that. Because, yeah, last week we had another old hatchling come back after Pride, Steven.
Oh, yeah, Steven, of course.
And
he was really active with the show. And actually went on to do other things with you guys.
Yeah. And so, we talked about Sparkles. I ran into him once.
Oh, yeah, Sparkles.
Yeah, I still remember the one time I ran into him several months ago getting stuff together, and he looked at me like, "You look familiar, I just don't remember where you're from." I said, "I remember you, Sparkles."
Right.
And it was like, he had a click, oh my God. Because he's no longer very sparkly.
No, he goes by Justin now.
Aww.
And so with that, it was like, so after a while, I let him see you for a little bit from the radio show.
Yeah.
So we're going to just step out for a moment and do some PSAs.
Okay.
And I'm going to put a little bit of music out here. Dedicated to your grandmother.
Ah!
Oh!
I was searching frantically here for the song, and so I got some old school song that sounds perfect for what you've got with your grandmother. So let's do the PSAs, and we'll be back in just a little bit.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites MySpace and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. On Facebook, for example, you can connect to KPFT as a friend, join our fan page, and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley to Facebook users, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFTHouston to join us. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. Visit myspace.com/KPFTHouston to add KPFT as a friend. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFTHouston. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFTHouston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio and KPFT Houston.
Thank you. Family Promise in Southeast Harris County is holding a fundraiser at both Casa Olays in Pasadena on Friday, July 16th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Contact Hank at Family Promise at 281-991-1084 to get your flyer for the fundraiser. A portion of your bill will go to Family Promise's work with homeless families. Get your flyer and come hungry. KPFT, Houston.
You're listening to After Hours, Career Radio with Attitude, sponsored by commercial free Pacific Radio for adult folks, KPFT Houston, 9.1 FM, 8.5 gallons, and on the worldwide web, kpft.org.
Of the wall, 10 minutes after I received her telephone call. She'll be here Friday morning, so there's not much time to clean.
Better hide the advocate and the mandate magazine.
We'll redecorate the guest room so it looks like it's been used. Separate our wardrobes or she'll really be confused. Then get ready for a lonely week of sleeping on the couch.
We're straightening up the house.
Tomorrow I will put away your gay pride shirts and our Halloween assortment of jewelry, pumps, and skirts. Then pack up all the books by Quentin Crisp and Rita Mae and the his and his towels that you bought me yesterday.
And you'd better hide the albums by that lesbian group. She has no ear for music, but she has been known to snoop. And remember not to kiss me, just forget you're my spouse.
Up the house.
Snapshot of the two of us. This thing will have to go. Don't tell me this is totally insane, because I know that I cannot wear the wristwatch with our names engraved in gold. The one that says I love you, John, with all my heart and soul. This is our first Christmas here in our new home. In a hostile world, it's our only safety zone. I never should have promised I'd continue with this lie. But Dad was so certain if she found out she would die.
But if it's killing anyone, I think it's killing me. 'Cause it tears me up inside to hide my true identity. And asking you to help me makes me feel like such a louse.
Years old, why am I acting like a mouse? I'm a man and he's my lover.
If she freaks out, she'll recover.
Come on and help me
to just clean the house.
Blast from the past.
For your grandmother and all the grandmothers out there who are staying over.
That was spectacular.
That's why I kept digging through. It's like, I can't find the Romanovsky
and
CD.
And that song's probably older than you.
Most likely. I'm not that old.
What's the date
it's
on that?
It's on a CD. 1988.
Oh, see, I was 89. Not too far off.
See?
I was 89 as well.
And we've been playing it since 1988.
I'm circa 1989.
Good old Roman Oskin Phillips. Yeah.
Totally reminds me, though, one thing I was totally not able to hide from my parents was my piercings. And every time my mother sees me, I have more piercings. And it's, you know, it's comical because I really don't even think she saw my new ear piercings until my grandmother saw them. And she ratted me out and she was like, "Oh dear, I didn't see those decorations on your ear." And I was like, "Oh, grandma."
So the next time what you need to do is get a fake one, you know, like a big ring through the nose, put a fake one in there just so they'll go, "Oh, now what have you done?"
Oh, then she'd blame Richard.
Richard looked clean and plain.
Yeah, Richard, all of Richard's piercings are hideable.
Ooh.
But my mom knows that every time I go and get piercings, I'm with Richard. And so when she met Richard today, she's like, "Oh, it's the Richard I've heard so much about."
Oh. Oh.
But Richard looked absolutely just nice and clean shaven because all of his piercings are hideable and all mine are on my face.
Oh, well.
Whatever.
All right.
She ought to be happy that they're just on your face.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right. So before we had the musical break, which was pretty cool. I've never heard that song before. We were talking about Hatching Out and about the old church and about... the atmosphere in Hatch is changing a lot, actually. It's getting younger.
Yeah,
a lot younger. When I first started going to Hatch, the age range is probably... We still have that 14 to 20.
Right.
But the kids that were going were between the ages of 16, 17 to Hatching Out.
Right.
It wasn't very young. And nowadays at Hatch, we have a very young atmosphere. And it's really cool to see all these 14, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds at Hatch because... I had never really seen that many kids in that age range, and now we have a lot, and it's really cool.
It's quite refreshing.
Yeah, it is quite refreshing. It's really, really awesome to see all these people, especially we have very young trans kids as well as older, and it's really awesome to see that these kids are coming out to themselves and being more honest with themselves at such a younger age.
And that they can.
I mean, even when I was their age, I could, but I didn't really know anything about being gay. I mean, we talked about this on the porch. When I was 14 years old, I didn't know what gay was. I mean, I knew that there were people who were gay, but I didn't understand what it was.
Right.
I understood that people made fun of them.
Right.
But I didn't know what it was. So, I mean, nowadays it's a little bit more in the media and a little more out there culture, so it's easier for kids that age to kind of understand who they are and come to terms with who they are younger. So I think that's one of the biggest contributors to why we have such a young group. We were at Hatch, I think, 2 weeks ago talking about the church and the atmosphere change, and some of them looked at me and goes, "What church?" And I was like, "That's only been 2 years ago."
Right.
Only 2 years ago did we move to MCC, and still, they didn't even know we were at a church.
You know, it's important to have Hatch Youth stay with the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hatch is for you guys.
Yeah.
It's there for when you need it, for whatever purpose you need, whatever it can serve for you in your life, whatever that might be. But it's also good for the program whenever a youth comes in at a certain age, younger age, and stays with it throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a history that you guys have among yourselves. And the people who volunteer and the people who work there, you know, we've seen a lot of kids come and go. But it's important for there to be a institutional memory within your group.
Yeah, somebody who can say, you know, they remember.
Right.
Like, I've been there for 3 years. I've been at Hatch for 3 years, and I can talk about the last 3 years and, you know, tell people about the history of the 3 years. It's only been a very small amount of time, but it's a time period that they didn't know about.
And quite frankly, you guys probably don't need Hatch.
No, we go more for the younger kids.
Hatch needs you.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting when you kind of come to that realization. Like, I really, to some degree, almost feel like I've gotten everything out of the program that
I think you have
get from the program.
I think that's true.
But, like, I still go back because I feel like I need to be there. Like, there are just conversations that need to be had. There are, you know, small groups that need to be facilitated, and I feel like it's kind of gotten to the point to where I'm giving back to the organization that I've gotten a lot from.
No, I think that's true.
In probably the last year and a half that I've been at Hatch, I've gotten everything that I'm going to get from Hatch.
Yeah.
And I realized very, very fast, you know, when I first got into Hatch, I became a steering committee member because they needed a steering committee that many people who were old enough and could handle steering committee time period. So I became a steering committee member fast. But in the last year and a half, I've kind of taken what that means and put it to the fact that I'm there to help the new people. I'm there to talk to the new kids and give them history of who we are and what we do. Right. And I'm there for more for them now. I mean, I enjoy going, but I see my friends pretty much every other day.
Sure.
I mean, we hang out outside.
It also helped you create a social structure and a social network.
Yes. Before Hatch, I was a homeschooled kid. So growing up, when I was young, my friends came from fairs, the Garden and the Heights and places like that that no longer exist. You know, I went to fairs my entire youth, and my friends came from there. And when I got into those teen years, I really didn't have a lot of friends. I mean, I didn't have people who like the same things we could socialize with, because I didn't go to high school like everybody else.
Sure.
Getting Hatch gave me a friend base, gave me people to talk to, gave me people who I could depend on to be there and be friends for me.
Right.
And it also gives kids who do have high school a place where they can be safe and have friends that are safe with.
That's right.
So it's a really great place to meet friends and to meet people who you can talk to and be really good, you know, have that bond of friendship that you can't get anywhere else.
That's right.
So it's a big place for that, and I've gotten so many friendships and so many relationships out of Hatch that I wouldn't have gotten that if I had not gone. I wouldn't be as socially out there with my friends if I hadn't gone. So we have a lot of people who talk about that. Like I'm talking to right now. I was talking to one of my old friends who actually I met at fairs, Elizabeth also, and she had gone to Hatch before I went. And we talked about how that was kind of funny because she went in her sophomore year, which is right when I was coming out to myself. I was very young. I was very young when I first came out to myself, and I went in the closet, and then I came back out.
Right.
But that was about the time I was like first thinking about it. And now we're talking again because of Hatch, because we got started talking on Facebook about Hatch. And a couple of the other Hatch kids that have hatched out, we've been talking a lot as well. So it's really like this transition for me, I guess, right now. And you're going to be in the same thing in a couple months?
Facebook saves lives. Yes, I am. I just want to say that. Yeah, I hatch out in December, so in 5 months I am going to be too old to participate in Hatch anymore, and I'm kind of upset about it. But, you know, I think, like, a really large part of, like, why I really, for the next 5 months, want to be pretty involved with Hatch is because I really want to see a new group of people step up to, like, kind of take the reins and take over. 'Cause after a while, you know, people kind of fall into just kind of like, okay, blankety blank's here, so blankety blank's gonna do the rules. Blankety blank's here, now they're gonna, you know, greet the new people. And, like, that really needs to start happening from some of the more regular but younger kids, because, you know, we're not gonna be there for much longer. And someone needs to show up to this radio show, gosh darn it.
Yeah, some of the younger kids need to start coming.
Someone who's not me. Although I'm gonna miss the radio show so much.
The two of you stay with it until you age out.
Yeah, I mean,
don't leave now.
What's going to happen to this segment when you two leave?
I don't know.
I don't get to come as often as I used to, and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because of work gets in the
way. I know.
How many more years does Alex have?
Two.
Two.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
He's good. V has a lot going on in her life, but she loves doing the radio show. So whenever she can, she wants to be here. But yeah,
I don't remember my first radio show.
Do Chris and I need to come to a Hatch meeting and do a dog and pony show?
You know, I think that's a good idea every once in a while to do. So
yeah, we haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, I think it's good.
One of the biggest problems with the kids that are coming to Hatch is because they're kids.
Transportation.
They're young. They're very, very young.
Do you have a bicycle rack?
A lot of them live outside of the city of Houston.
Yeah, most of them don't actually live like within the loop or even within the beltway. Yeah. I don't.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a lot, like, B doesn't, Max doesn't.
Transportation's what always is the problem.
Pretty.
I realize that, and I also realize the lateness of the program is a problem.
That's true.
Yeah, it is.
Now, we have had youth who had their parents drop them off and pick them up for the radio show.
Mm-hmm. Those are very nice parents.
We've had parents who sat in the lobby and listened to the show.
Yes, that's right. We have. Really? We have, as a matter of fact.
That is right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we certainly invite them to do that again. Yeah. We have no problem with that.
We're really actually trying. We've been discussing in the last couple of months, since my hatch out date's getting so close and so is Kia's, is the things we need to prepare for hatch, like getting new steering committee members, getting new kids to step up and take over our positions. One of the things we were sad about is that this was the last prom that me and her are going to be involved in, and none of the younger kids got involved.
Oh, no.
And so it was really like the next generation is going to be taught by one person who's not hatching out until next year.
So it's like almost starting from scratch.
Yeah, there's still one person that's kind of there this year that's going to be involved, but I've been involved in three of them. So, like, every step I knew what to do.
Promise you it will go on.
I know it's going to go on. It's just that there's no youth that stepped up this time. So I'm hoping that somebody will help out next year, because I've done prom on my own. There's also things like getting steering committee and getting kids to come in and get on the radio. And
You know, I've seen, because I've been doing this actually for a while for Hatch, and I've seen people come for their first show and kind of sit back, be a little timid.
Oh, I was.
And over the course of however long, just blossom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just really make a strong statement about who they are, about their point in the generation, and what's going on. It's really amazing. A lot of growth has happened around this particular show.
I don't think I was ever timid.
I was not quiet. I came into the show terrified.
You thought you would be timid.
I did. I was terrified when I came to the show for my first time. Josh dragged me. No, you couldn't.
Yes.
I was stoked, man. I was like, people are going to listen to me. Yeah.
I was so scared the entire time we were waiting to come on, and Josh was like, you're going to be okay. And then once we got in front of the microphone, I couldn't stop.
I think you literally pushed people away and took center stage on that microphone, and you had it for the
But it's not often that we get folks like that just take to the mic so well.
Some of it is a process. It takes a little
while. It takes
a
little time to be used to talking and not to hesitate so much in your talking.
Or be afraid of the mic or what you're saying or you know, who's listening and all of that.
Yeah, we have a couple people who come that are kind of quiet while they're here.
That's okay. That's okay. That's right.
It took
me 6 months to be able to say more than one sentence at a time on the mic.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah. But I was definitely not timid when I first came, and I don't think Kia was either.
No.
The only thing I was ever afraid of was censoring myself. I was terrified that I was going to get someone slapped with a fine and kicked off the radio.
It would be you as well.
That's one of the beauties of being in the midnight to 5 a.m. time slot. We have a lot of leeway. Because we've talked about subjects and talked about them in a way that you couldn't talk about in an earlier time slot.
Right, that's right.
And I'd like to be able to give that freedom to folks.
We don't have to talk
air.
As clinical as to clean it up for everything. Yeah. Right. We can use some of the terminology and use it in a way that a younger audience or, you know, an audience that may not want to understand.
Stop vibrating.
Oh, it's my phone. I'm sorry.
All the people think I have... No.
It's my phone.
Sorry, I can't make a vibrator joke during the house.
No,
please don't.
I'll save it for roundtable.
Okay, go right on ahead.
But now, we don't have to get as clinical and use all the fancy, $10 words.
Yeah. Hatch has had some very frank conversations
frank conversations about sex, about suicide,
and
about
that is
a
so important.
Really, it really is.
Because an old fogey like me can talk about the same thing, but it's not the impact on the youth that the Hatch group has.
Yeah, it's not the same as when...
That's right. You're talking to your own people.
Yeah.
And that makes a hell of a lot of difference.
I have people.
Yeah, yeah.
You have fans.
We have fans?
Yes.
We have fans. We have people actually listen to this.
You are radio personalities.
Call me Sheila.
I'm unplugged. You're unplugged? There you go.
At least 20,000 people listen to you every week.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that many.
You know, I've met people who I've mentioned this to, and they've said, wow, I've listened to your show before and never made the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fun when that happens.
People get forced to listen to this show. My dad's a cab driver,
mm-hmm.
and while I'm on air, he doesn't turn it off.
That is awesome.
But I'll tell you who doesn't listen. Old D-Dub, Des Walwin, don't listen to our show. She's the program assistant for Hatch.
Oh.
And we'll go in and we'll quiz her. Did you listen to the show last night? Yeah. What we talk about? Y'all, I don't remember.
Well, tell her she can pick up the archive at kpfd.org.
That's what we do.
Desiree Walwin, listen. I hope you're listening. I should text her right now.
She's young. She's only 2 years older than me, but she likes her sleep.
Ah.
So,
well, the archive.
So does Blend and Brenda.
That's right.
Here.
I'm here.
Yeah.
The archive was made for
the old man. Yeah,
that's the older person. I didn't say old man.
You
never said old man. I never said old man. I
do want to let you guys know, when you turn 25, you can come back to the program as a facilitator, which is what I do.
What Deb and I have been talking about, because we still have yet to have an ex-Hatch youth come back and volunteer.
You're right.
We still have yet to have any, and we've had a few that have talked about coming back, but... There's still no ex-Hatch youth that have come back and volunteered.
I'm actually out to get Des's job.
I am surprised at that.
I am too, actually.
And we have one, Chris, who hatched out last year, who says even if he comes back for a day, he'll be back at Hatch to volunteer because he made the promise. And I plan on coming back and volunteering and being a facilitator as well, because it is a really great program and they need facilitators.
It is.
And
it
really in the last couple of months, we've had a really big drop in our facilitators showing up.
You know, I've been a facilitator now off and on in different roles for about 10 years. And I can tell you, I believe this is one of the most rewarding, important things that I've done.
Yeah. Because we're young people and we're impressionable.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm tired. But no, it's a great place to see people grow and have a part in them finding themselves.
Oh, and he's paid the price. There have been a couple of times when...
Nobody showed up here.
Yes, that's right. And so, we interviewed...
It was at Halloween last year because nobody knew it was the night...
We were here.
The radio show.
We didn't come, but it wasn't actually the right night.
Yeah, no, it was
so
confusion.
We came a week later, and we came on the right night.
Yeah,
there have been times though where not too many.
No,
it's too
almost
many.
Always because I have car trouble, and I'm half the people's ride.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Just saying.
Yeah. I can get here. I just end up working.
I think it's only happened once on your watch.
Yeah. Tonight, I'm actually everyone's ride.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how we do.
My truck is somewhere. My dad is working, so she woke me up.
Where's my car?
My mom has it with her boyfriend. So that's a fascinating
subject.
Yay, mom. That's pretty awesome.
My mother and father's divorce goes through on July 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And that, yeah.
Boy, that's a Hatch segment in itself.
Well,
right?
You know, actually, that might be, in some regards, our subject next month.
Yeah, relationships and stuff like that was one of our topics.
We should totally make this like a Tuesday activity, like brainstorm and act out
radio
programs.
Yes, we should do that.
Look at us being awesome
on
the radio.
Sorry, we're thinking on the radio.
No. I don't think we've ever done that subject.
Show wish D-Dub was listening. Should write this down.
about divorce and how it affects...
Yeah, relationships
and
how it affects... Yeah, because it's a very... My family's a very odd subject at this point because my parents separated 2 months ago, but they really haven't been together in 6 years.
Oh.
And... They live together, but they haven't really been together in 6 years, and they did separated in May. They're getting divorced in July, and my mom has a boyfriend, and we're supposed to be having dinner, my mom, her boyfriend, and her husband still, in a week.
How's that working out?
Well,
it's fascinating.
Well.
My family's actually pretty odd on the divorce level scale because we all get along still. Like,
okay, so it's, like a, friend, it's a friendly
you
divorce?
Said, yeah,
it's,
what you're saying, they've been in the process for basically 6 years and they're just going through the legal strokes right now.
At the beginning of the separation, it was really bad. I mean, you can ask a lot of people. The beginning of it was kind of abrupt. Ending because my father moved out one day. And I woke up to moving vans and stuff like that, so it was a very abrupt kind of situation. Even though I had known it was coming, it was still like today of all days. And but in about a month later he came back and we started talking, and for the last couple weeks, it's been like a month now, hasn't it? you were there the night. It's a month today.
It's summer.
It's a month today that my dad's been back. And it's been this kind of fascinating situation because we're a different dynamic, but we're not we're not as bad as I've seen other divorce couples happen. Like my parents still sit and talk and have conversations and they don't kill each other, and it's interesting.
That's good. That's good.
So we went to family dinner last week, and it's a little weird.
So I'm thinking 6 years ago, the moving vans came up. I mean, how old were you? I mean, that must have been really...
The moving van showed up last month.
Moving van showed up last month. My dad moved out 2 months ago, May 3rd.
Okay.
But my parents...
They've been going through the motions for 6 years.
Yeah, they've lived in the same house. We've all lived in the same house, but my dad's a cab driver, so he's been kind of out of the picture for six, 7 years now, and they've been going through the motion of getting divorced for a while. So this year just happens to be the year that they'll officially be divorced.
Okay.
It's a fascinating situation in my house. But
I guess cab driver out front.
I'm thinking,
for some reason.
Here it is. Your mom's out on a date in your car. You know, that's just kind of weird
it
itself. Yeah.
There's only
one. Is that a curfew? You better be back home. There better be.
It is your car after all.
We've had a discussion about her and her calling to make sure that she's okay.
Yeah.
But,
excellent.
No, it's the family vehicle now because we went from having the cab and my truck to having my truck.
Oh, okay.
Because my dad's not living in a house anymore.
Okay.
So the truck is everybody's truck at this point.
Oh, okay.
It's how we all get to work and home.
So, wow. So you need to tease her. What are these condoms doing in my truck?
I actually wanted to give her condoms.
Why would you say that? That's disgusting.
Well, no, she's been staying over at his house, and so I was like, Mom, do we need to have this discussion? Should I get protection?
Pick up a little safe sex kit.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes, it is.
The safe sex discussion is always appropriate.
And it doesn't matter your orientation or, you know, who's doing what to whom.
Yeah,
you know, yes, it is important.
It's a very important
subject. If it's a parent, it's still important.
Yes.
Yeah, well, in my family, we're very open about sexuality and sex and about conversations and topics about it because we don't want any... I don't know how to explain. You've seen my family. We're very open about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking between each other about this situation is like, it's a little awkward, to say the least, like to talk to my mom about her being attracted to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something like, I was like, do I need to get you some? Because I have access to them.
That's always a little weird for a teenager to think think of their parents being sexual.
I am not a teenager.
That is always...
Compared to him, yes.
She's almost allowed to drink alcohol.
I am.
That's why she's leaving Hatch.
That's right.
The idea is that, you know, young person thinking that it's just kind of weird thinking of your parents having sex.
Well, it's not her parents.
It's
mom
not
and
my parents. It's my mom and her boyfriend.
Anybody.
Like,
your parent. Your
really put her over the edge. Get her both the safe. Get her, you know, the regular condom and lube and the little mint pack. And if they still have around there, see if you can find the female condom. And
large. And don't forget the dental dom.
Damn, not dom.
Damn.
the dental dom. The dental dom is the when you go to see the dentist and he wants to really hurt you.
Oh, okay.
That's the orthodontist
who doesn't like
anesthesia.
We don't
need to talk about any of this anymore. We can go ahead and wrap this up. You know what? I'm uncomfortable, and Houston is uncomfortable, and all of us just need to stop right now.
So how do I get in touch if I want to contact Hatch?
Well, let me tell you. First, you get on a computer, and you can go to hatchyouth.org, or just Google Hatch if you're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could call us, and I guess Beth's going to give the numbers.
Or you can call us up and either get Deb or Des on the phone, and you're going to call 713-329. Is that 529? 529-3590. So that's 713-529-3590. And you'll get one of our directors, either Deb or Des, on the phone, and they'll help you get to Hatch and kind of find out what we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And if you need to contact the GLBT switchboard, which is an awesome helpline, you can call 713-529-3211. One more time now. That's 713-529-3211. And that's how you can reach the switchboard.
Yeah. Great, great group. Great group.
Awesome.
And their ear call gets answered 24 hours a day.
On the switchboard, yeah.
Yes.
You can ask, you can talk about any major subject.
Anything.
Or even
doesn't have to be gay related.
No, that's right.
And, and Jimmy, you're a founding member of the switchboard, if I'm
well, not a founding member, but I was the longest volunteer they ever had. I was there 15 years.
Wow.
Wow.
And worked with Ann to facilitate getting the switchboard from an organization to part of the Montrose Counseling Center.
Right, right.
And see, when we had it, we could only operate at the most 9 hours a day through volunteers only. But now, with the counseling center, the calls get answered 24 hours a day.
Right.
Plus, there are therapists there.
Right.
Plus, emergency staff. And it's just a better switchboard now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so happy that that happened.
Yeah. And, of course, as always, you can just show up to Hatch. It's at 401 Bernard on the first floor. We don't keep it hidden
anymore.
We're
not a secret anymore.
That's
we're
right.
not a secret anymore.
That's right.
You know, we don't have to call and find out anymore. We're on. We're at 401 Bernard at mm-hmm. Montrose Counseling Center on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
The door is covered in a hatch, so you can always find us. And, you know, we're always there to help out. And during the week, you can call Deb or Des, and they'll help you out understanding what we are and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Shout out to Max and V and Deb and Des.
And Shorty.
And Shorty, hey, she's asleep.
Yeah, but she'll listen later.
Okay, well, hey,
Shorty's my sister.
Ah.
So hey. She used to come to the show once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to all the Hatch youth.
All the Hatch youth. And Nani, Uch, out.
Tashla.
Nani, ouch. I don't know how to say your last name, sweetie. I'm so sorry.
And our, right. our Colorado listener.
And our Colorado listener. Yeah.
Thank you for calling. We love you.
All right.
All right, that's it.
Bye-bye. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Do a little music, and we'll be back in a little bit.
I'm going to hobble now.
Drums. Silence. Scream out with my heart. cannot breathe. Choking on the words that have set me free, living in fear. Only knowing fear, only knowing pain. When I get up, stand up, throw open the door. Gotta break the silence.
shines on the water. The golden ripples flicker gently, calling out to sea. For now I hang with miracles, so I walk out on the waves. By the moonless night, my candle lights your way back home to me. A boy can dream. Yes, a boy can dream. A boy can dream. A boy can dream. Yes, a boy can dream. A boy can
That was A Boy Can Dream by Nekked, N-E-K-K-E-D. But just before that was Freddie Friedman, Breaking the Silence. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on KPFT. Coming up right now is a little tutorial we need to play for you. We here are the part of KPFT and the Pacifica Foundation, kind of restructured recently on the basis of democracy, on how our station is governed. And a part of that includes you, the listener sponsor for KPFT. Coming up soon is going to be our listener board elections, where you have an opportunity to select people to run the board of KPFT and also represent us at the national level with Pacifica, with your vision of what this station should be and how it can grow and how it can sustain itself. And to let you get some information about what this sort of work is involving, we're going to play a little tutorial for you. It's going to run about 8 minutes or so, and we'll be back with a little bit of music and then the round table. But like I said, this is very important information we wanted to make sure that you, the listener, find out about. So hopefully if I've queued up the right stuff here, we'll be back in about 8 minutes.
So this is Kathy Kidd, local election supervisor for KPFT, and I'm interviewing George Ryder on the history of the Pacifica and specifically KPFT Houston board elections. And so, George, I'd like to know, when did you first get involved in KPFT and Pacifica?
Well, the very first was way back around 1984. There was an ad in the paper for someone to do interviews of people who'd done books. So I was going to do interviews of authors. And I came in, I tried out for it, and they seemed to think I did a good job with that. The only problem with that is that on the third interview, they put me in front of the control panel with all these buttons and lights and stuff. And I was supposed to do that at the same time that I was doing the interview, and it was like, ah! So I can't do this. I didn't come back. So that was kind of an abortive initial attempt. But I really got started. I had been down to El Salvador to bring some money down that we'd raised at the University of Houston. I'm a professor of physics at the University of Houston. And this was shortly after the Jesuits were slaughtered by the military down there. And the university was also attacked and people beat up and so on. And we were bringing, $1,000 or so that we'd raised down to as a gift to the university. At the same time, we used the opportunity to go into the areas, at that time it was around 1990, the areas where the FMLN still had control. And we got a chance to talk with those folks and be with them for a few days. And when I came back, Wally James, who was doing Enfoque Latina, heard about my having gone and asked me to be on the show to talk about the experience. And I did, and Wally liked it, and he asked me back from time to time to do commentary on other things, and that was the beginning of how I got in, really.
So before we get into the history of the board elections, why are we called Radio for Peace?
Well, this station, this network, began with people who were pacifists, spent World War II in jail for their beliefs. And when they came out, they decided that rather than spend their time in jail every time there was a war, they'd like to convince the population that maybe what their perspective was made some sense. And so they decided they would open up an FM radio station, which was a bold move at the time because not very many people had FM radios. But they did that. They gave away FM radios in Berkeley, and they launched the station, in which dialogue between people of different perspectives in the interests of creating a world where peace was possible between people with different perspectives succeeded, thrived. That's KPFA was the beginning, the flagship of the network at the time.
I was in Berkeley about 10 years ago when 10,000 people came out in the streets because the radio station was going through some turmoil. And so can you tell us a little bit about the history of these elections and how they came into being?
Well, at the time of what you're talking about, there were no elections. The board was selected by people who were sort of insiders, and it was actually moving towards being completely self-selecting. So they would pick the people who were going to be on the board. And the board at that time was taking the network in a very, very different direction from what it had been and from what it is now. It was essentially moving in the direction here locally of being a commercial music station. So very, very few of the public affairs programs, including mine. I had one called Class Notes. It was on for half an hour on Friday nights. And that was taken off the air and replaced by music. And there was also the talk about perhaps selling one of the stations. These licenses, the ones in the commercial band, were worth $150 million. I mean, the people who really loved the stations because they were, in fact, committed to a peaceful world, to a world where dialogue was possible, to a world where the opinions and thoughts of people who are usually marginalized by the mainstream media would be heard. Possibilities of social change could be discussed in sensible ways. And so those folks got themselves together. You had a march of 10,000 people in Berkeley. One of the things that the people in power at the time were doing was giving Amy Goodman a hard time. She was being harassed at the local station. She was being asked to say in advance what she was going to be talking about. And locally, some of us got together and protested right out in front of the station. Well, shortly after that, lawsuits which had been filed in California by people who wanted to regain the station for its original purposes and the network for its original purposes. One of them won. The judge decided people paying the money for this station have a right to determine how it's run, and yes, you can develop a democratic procedure for doing that. And so when that happened, a transition plan was put in place where five members of the old board and five members of a transition group and five new people were put on that became the governing board of Pacifica. And there was a rather rapid transition to people who all the people who involved were people who were part of the take back movement. It was still about 2 or 3 years before the actual bylaws were put in place. The judge gave plenty of time for the people who were now running the network to get themselves together and create a set of bylaws. And those bylaws created this mechanism that we have now, the set of elections that we're going through here.
So is this unique in the history of democracy to see this community radio democratized?
I don't think there's ever been another example of a network as big as ours where this has happened. I think this really is a unique experiment on whether the progressive forces in this country can actually run a major institution democratically. Let me say that it was a struggle, that people were really for a prolonged period of time engaged throughout the country working together to put pressure on the boards, on the people who were on the boards, who were not committed to the kind of mission that the station was founded on and were not committed to the kind of vision for the future that we have now, to get them off. And that was successful, but it really was a struggle. It involved a lot of people in a lot of places over a long period of time. And it didn't necessarily make the people who were here in Houston happy. The very first meeting of the Listener Advisory Board had, after the transition, there were 300 angry people who been told by the former general manager that we were going to take their music away from them, confronting us up on the stage, the new members of the Listener Advisory Board, who are essentially the people who've been involved in the struggle to get the station back. My wife, who became the chair of the board for a couple of years, thought she was seriously that she was going to be shot. I mean, it was really that tense and that angry.
So was it a false us versus them that was set up to divide and conquer?
Yes, mostly. There's more public affairs now than there was at the time the turnover was, but then it was almost all music. There's still some tension between the music, the folks who are mostly interested in music and the folks who are mostly interested in social justice, but there was never any intention to throw those folks off the air.
What do you see as the highest possible vision for KPFT and this democratically elected board, giving you space to dream about what you think is possible?
Well, I see this network and this station as a catalyst for social transformation, a place where people can come together, hash out ideas about what kind of future they want, put on people who are active in making that kind of future happen, and support those efforts. The board, I see, as multiple roles in doing that. One in sort of overseeing the process as a whole and making suggestions to management as to where directions they ought to go. A lot of it is work that needs to be done. There's all kinds of things that require skills here. We would like to do more in the way of outreach, more in the way of development proposals, more in the way of marketing the station. I mean, most of the people in this city don't even know we're here. A large fraction of those people, if they knew we're here and what we were and who we were doing, would want to listen. I think that's really important function of the board, to use their own connections, their own groups that they're part of, become outreach agents for the station and bringing people in and bringing us to them.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much, George. I appreciate your history and your knowledge, and it's been a pleasure to sit here and learn from you. So thanks a lot.
Well, you're quite welcome, Kathy, and thanks for doing this.
I wasn't paying attention at the time. I didn't see that. Hey, Jimmy, if you can hear me, come in here. Somebody could tell Jimmy to come in, please. you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. That was a tutorial to get you interested in the LSB. Jimmy. Did somebody find Jimmy? I can't tell. I had a special treat for Jimmy if he gets in here. Hello. Of course, nobody out there is listening to the damn show.
Hello.
I got a special treat for you.
You do?
Yeah.
What do you mean a special treat?
I found something on the net.
Yes?
That you are going to enjoy.
Why me, in particular?
Because you love this song, and the copy we have is not very good.
Oh, God. This has got to be something I hate.
No, it's not.
What is it? Oh, my God!
We haven't played this in a while.
No.
So a little bit of filler to get us to the top of the hour and her PSAs and all that. This is Bobby McFerrin doing The Wizard of Oz.
Thank you.
come out wherever you are. Meet a young lady who fell from a star. She fell from a star, she fell very far. And the Countess, she says, is the name of the star. Ding dong, witch is dead, witch the witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. High hold, Mary, you'll sing it up.
Ding dong,
the wicked witch is dead. She goes with the golden sunny love, the love of another baby. Ding dong, the witch is dead, witch the witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch. We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, and in the name of the Lollipop Guild, we wish to welcome you so much, Galen.
Bum 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 bum.
Ta ra ta 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 la 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 la.
Dun 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 dun.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. We're up to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. We're in the wonderful wizard, the wizard of Oz. And everywhere a wizard was, the wizard of Oz. And must be, must be, must be, must be.
This way, Dorothy, this way, Dorothy, this way, Dorothy, this way, Dorothy, this way.
Have you looked at me? Have you?
Oh, my God.
That was courtesy of YouTube.
Yes, Bobby McFerrin.
I didn't think about
sings,
that. Sings. Does Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I just typed in Bobby McFerrin, Wizard of Oz.
That's fabulous.
I didn't think about that until I was looking through there, because you're talking about the one song we only play off of cassette.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking on our CD that we have that I made of a whole bunch of different songs.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the one that sounded like it hit me on that. It's like, well, let me just take a look and see if maybe they found a version, because the one we have is gets all choppy and bumpy in it. So,
oh, man, that's great.
So I saw that. So, oh, I think Jimmy will like that.
Yeah.
And the next thing I do need to do is find Nell Carter's song.
You bet.
Song,
yes. That song Back in the High Life.
On that. So you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
And we need to point out that we didn't before is that every sound you heard was Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, yes.
There was no musical accompaniment.
Except the audience members.
Except the audience, yes.
Who helped him in that performance. Basically, this was supposed to be a video clip from a late 1980s PBS pledge drive show.
Oh, really?
According to the part on there. And the person who put it up here, you know, they're trying to find the original video to this because it's a little... The video is a little choppy. Mm-hmm. The audio still was great.
Yes. I saw Burt Bacharach in that audience.
Who?
Burt Bacharach.
Who?
Burt!
No, I don't know. I don't know. Bert and Ernie have last names.
I'm just gonna have to hit you.
Oh, Bert Bareback. I've seen his videos.
No. The one that did all the Dionne Warwick songs. Yeah.
Who? We need to play some PSAs. We'll be back in a moment with Roundtable. Clear this up. I'll take it back to Cuba.
The Cuba Solidarity Committee invites you to a party. We have prepared a party for you to share friendship, solidarity, and support for the Pastors for Peace humanitarian aid to the people of Cuba.
All year long, you have worked tirelessly for justice and peace. Wouldn't it be incredible to take a break to party and dance in support of a noble cause?
This is your chance.
Wear your dancing shoes and bring lots of energy.
Enjoy a night of music, food, and dance.
Vengan todos a bailar y divertirse.
Saturday, July 10th, from 7 to 11 p.m.
at the Houston Institute for Culture, 708 Telephone Road.
For more info, call Ayana at 832-704-1007. Brought to you by the Cuba Solidarity Committee.
KPFT, Houston.
Family Promised in Southeast Harris County is holding a fundraiser at both Casa Olay's in Pasadena on Friday, July 16th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Contact Hank at Family Promise at 281-991-1084 to get your flyer for the fundraiser. A portion of your bill will go to Family Promise's work with homeless families. Get your flyer and come hungry. KPFT Houston.
Tired of that song. We're back here now with the world famous, world infamous Roundtable.
Well, half stop. Round.
Unfortunately, I don't have any of the pillars.
It's no.
No bestiality stories.
No bestiality. No,
but not even,
well, I'm out of here.
Not any even any history of bestiality stories.
No.
What about furries?
But we have vegetables.
Vegetables work. Depends how the shape is.
Well, we'll have to deal with vegetables then. One story I want to wait for Jimmy to. Yeah, I'll go a couple here. Some interesting items coming up here with Pride parade, Pride events here recently. Let me see if I can scroll forward to these.
We still have Pride events happening?
Well, actually, internationally.
We still have Pride.
Yes. Internationally. Ah. But two stories coming out of Pride events. San Francisco Pride this past year has been really had some issues. On what's referred to as Pink Saturday, the day before the Pride parade, someone went and shot into a crowd.
Oh no!
Where one person was killed, two people were injured. Then, during a memorial service for that person, another shooting occurred with people injured. This is San Francisco Pride. And now, at the an investigation is going place, San Francisco police have launched an investigation after officers were recorded beating back a crowd of brawling women at last Sunday's gay pride celebration.
Oh, boy.
According to some, the police responded with excessive force. It is unknown if the brawling women were lesbians.
Were they wearing flannel?
In San Francisco this time of year?
And yes, they would be.
Did they have mullets?
Yes, I've never spent a colder winter than a summer in San Francisco.
And they say hell doesn't freeze.
The incident took place about 7:30 Sunday on Hyde Street near the UN Plaza, according to police. A video of the altercation, which has been posted on YouTube, shows several people gathered in a narrow sidewalk area yelling and then being pushed back by police officers. At a certain point, an officer is seen beating someone with a baton. Later, several more officers, including some from the California Highway Patrol, come to assist, and several people are detained. Two women are later seen grabbing a CHIP officer's baton, prompting cheering from the crowd gathered to watch. At various times, people can be heard yelling, F the police.
FCC the police.
A male voice can then be heard saying, they're just doing their job, man, and you don't punch a cop. It's probably high.
Drunk.
They're just doing their job, man. Police spokesman Lieutenant Lynn Tomika said the police initially responded to break up a fight between two women, and then officers were surrounded and attempted to disperse the crowd. Six women were taken into custody. Another was cited and released. Tomika said the department's internal affairs division is investigating the use of force by the officers. It's an ongoing investigation, but the use of force is what we try to talk to people. When we have no other option, the use of force is required, unfortunately. But to the public, it never looks pretty.
Well, of course not.
No.
And like I said, there's YouTube videos on that, or you can go to, I got this from joemygod.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably also on Tola Road.
You know, I would ask how many cops does it take to subdue a lesbian with a baton, but, yeah.
That's like trying to stop a bull from charging.
Yeah.
Take away its
credit card. Thank God he only said bull.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Other.
Anyhow.
In other news.
Other side note on Gay Pride. A Gay Pride float built by a married couple each year for the Gay Pride group, the Imperial Court of All Alaska.
Oh, really?
Has been destroyed in what Anchorage Fire Department is calling a suspicious fire.
What?
Now, that's not the unusual part. Here's the unusual part about this. The float was slated to be a part of the city's 4th of July parade.
4th of July?
What? Neighbors claim to have seen somebody running from the scene just before the fire. The builders, a husband and wife team, plan to use ash and pieces of scorched remains to rebuild a new float for the Pride parade, for the tomorrow's parade, which is today, which they'll call Phoenix Rising.
Oh, that's nice.
Ooh,
cool.
So they built it not for the Pride parade, but for the 4th of July parade.
Yes. As well.
And
the part that I find interesting is we are talking about, now the Imperial Court of All Alaska is the sister court to the Empire of the Royal Sun,
right.
Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A city having a 4th of July parade with a float with drag queens on it.
Well,
how American. Yay. That's really, that's all
that's
American.
That's Alaska for you.
That hit me with that. Well, you know. There's been this problem in Alaska. There's not a whole lot of women up there.
Well, women are scared, and the police are even scareder.
There you go. So, but
there's
no.
Sarah Palin.
Actually, Anchorage is, compared to any
it's
other city,
like
it's very small.
A little bit.
Very, very small.
Yeah.
And, you know, you give a parade, everybody's going to come out and see it.
Yeah. So
and if they built this nice big float for the Pride Parade, why not reuse it a week later?
Yeah, that's exactly.
There you go.
And the fact that they that's in a 4th of July parade is, you know,
that's the part that gets
that's
me.
That's the part I understand.
The float
that.
Have been used.
You
in
think
a
there's so much
parade
up there? Actually, I think
well, they're all wearing flannel, so you don't know.
I think you get
no. I think people like Sarah Palin think it's all butch up there.
It's not that. It's actually even though it is Republican, it's still very wilderness and
very conservative.
And cold.
No, and you know what I do in on my property is my business, and what you do on yours is yours. You know, it's
do we need to play? I'm a lumberjack.
I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay.
It's a very tolerant.
Historically,
yeah, there is a lot of that tolerant because it's been a mecca for people who are different, who don't fit into other societies.
If you're a lumberjack, you're okay. You can marry other lumberjacks.
I've seen some historical stuff. I mean, there's a long history of, you know, the folks, the miners and the lumberjacks getting all, you know, kind of cozy with each other.
Well,
you can see Russia from your house there. I mean, it's nice.
I mean, that's a history that goes back more than 100 years. So,
right.
You know,
like the cowboys, you know.
And there you go.
When you spend a lot of time.
Out on the
road. Got to watch out for wild hockey moms.
It's
kind of dangerous. There's a lot of crazy beasts out there.
Same-sex individuals. Mm-hmm. And
you can't always find the governor's daughter to plant it in.
There you go.
Oh.
Ooh.
As I've always said, the truth is like a 2x4. You can use it to build a bridge to tomorrow, or you can use it to beat someone upside the head with. I like to use it as both.
Yeah, there you go.
This was a story that... another car. I thought of Jimmy about when I saw this one.
Because it's a Smithsonian?
No, I'm putting gays in a vault.
What?
It's gay history at the Smithsonian.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
A dozen picket signs on old wooden sticks carry the DNA of the civil rights equality movement in America. 45 years ago this month, in 1965, these pickets were held high by men and women considered among the first generation of LGBT activists
in
front of Lyndon Johnson's White House.
Wow.
With the men wearing jackets and ties, tailored skirts for the ladies, all arrived neatly dressed to disarm the looks of fellow citizens, while their hand-lettered signs proclaimed unimaginable things like first-class citizenship for homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Despite their professional appearance and a handful of men... This handful of men and women on this history-making picket line knew perfectly well that their conduct literally put themselves and their jobs on the line in broad daylight.
Absolutely.
Mm. So, Jimmy, do you ever remember hearing about this?
Yes, it was the Mattachine Society, along with some women from lesbian activists.
Daughters of Bilitis. Daughters
of Bilitis, as a matter of fact, yes. They got together and did this, and they figured if they presented themselves as corporate America, where they looked like everybody else, then they would be accepted.
And not the Lavender Menace.
Right.
A piece of that is talked about in one of those documentary type things.
That movie Stonewall.
Stonewall.
Where basically one guy said, you know, why are we trying to assimilate ourselves?
Yeah.
However, those brave pickets are stored in the dark of the Smithsonian vault, where they've been held for the past 4 years, ever since they were presented to the National Museum of American History. In 2006, the original protest pickets were donated to the Smithsonian by the Kameny Papers Project, funded in part by former Congressman Michael Huffington and other generous friends and allies. Frank Kameny is often considered the still-living father of the gay civil equality movement in Washington, D.C., and has led many such pickets in his day. Fired by the federal government in 1957 because he was gay, Kameny responded in a righteous fury that such an action could be taken against him. A World War II veteran who had seen combat in Germany, a Harvard-educated astronomer determined to work for America's nascent space program.
Wow, he's got to be really up
there
now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Picture him holding one of the signs.
Because...
Now, like many Americans, he sought nothing more than to be an equal part of JFK's new frontier and LBJ's great society, yet was locked out and forced to change in acceptance by his nation's government over the following decades by sheer application of his wits and will. The man has lived even to see a Washington, D.C. street named for him this month. Frank Kameny Way.
That's good.
That's awesome. Cool.
Now, but he also has, he is the repository for a lot of the old stuff. Not only just his papers, but a lot of the gay stuff from the 50s and 60s, even 40s and 50s and 60s. So the Smithsonian got some good stuff there.
So how is
it out? It's like, well, put it on display.
That's
folks.
What they're talking about here. And this is from the Huffington Post, is where I'm reading this article from. So how is it that the nation's treasured museum, our Smithsonian institution, can keep these very special artifacts in a vault? To be fair, it takes time for a museum the size and quality of this great institution to curate and interpret artifacts of contemporary history.
It takes time for any museum to do that.
However, beyond the pickets, even if a casual visitor or respected historian pays a call today, he or she will quickly discover there is not a single gay or lesbian story told in the entire Museum of American History.
Hmm.
In our nation's capital for over two centuries, our city has often witnessed and staged struggles for many Americans fighting to achieve their full measure of equality and visibility. Within the Smithsonian, in fact, you will see their stories chronicled, their sacrifices narrated, their faces displayed. Major exhibitions on American ideals, public opinion, communities, the price of liberty, culture, science in the public eye make absolutely no reference whatever to LGBT Americans.
So it's literally in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In a time warp itself, to see this absence, given how the country and public opinion has changed since World War II, and how many nationally respected historians, storytellers, and journalists have documented LGBT contributions and challenges, including even our generation's terrible HIV/AIDS epidemic, you'll search in vain to find today an exhibit even on a piece of the AIDS quilt,
mm-hmm.
or a single mention of gay or lesbian involvement in politics, civics, culture, or war. Within the Smithsonian, our nation's lens on American history, we remain invisible.
Wow.
In contrast, in 2006, the Kameny Papers Project donated nearly 50,000 items to the Library of Congress. These documents have been cataloged in their entirety and are now fully available to anybody with a library card.
Wow.
Awesome. The library also knows it has a responsibility not to merely keep these documents under lock and key on their shelves. This month, as part of LGBT Pride activities, the Library of Congress launched an innovative new web portal focusing largely on the Kameny Archive, along with the papers of gay civil rights leader Bayard Rustin and other prominent writers and doers, with a generous introduction by our national librarian, James Billington. The Library of Congress sets the standard for telling the story of all Americans who envision, celebrate, build, and defend American liberty. You can go to find that, it's www.loc.gov/lgbt/index.html. So LOC, LibraryofCongress.gov.
Mm-hmm.
The National Museum of History plays an important role among the Smithsonian museums. It tells the story of freedom and how that freedom has steadily expanded to include all Americans, from the abolition of slavery to granting women the right to vote to African-American civil rights movement of the 60s to defending the rights of the disabled. But it is past time to bring LGBT Americans out of the vault and into the fold of that library story, where we belong, the Smithsonian, and to be shared with all Americans.
Wow. Well, last week we celebrated our Independence Day, all GLBT Americans, with Pride.
Yes.
Which is the celebration of an event, which was the Stonewall Riots.
It was the commemoration of that anniversary.
Yes, it was the first time that gay Americans stood up against the police force, and from there began the era of activism for GLBT rights.
And I understand that, what was it, in the 1970s that homosexuality was no longer considered a...
That happened
mental
in 1971,
disorder.
Yes. The American Psychiatric Association took us off of the disease list. Yes. And, of course, it took a lot longer for the medical field to
catch up.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I was wondering if you'd heard of a documentary called Word Is Out.
Yes, that was one of the very first ones. I've got a book on it.
I saw it a couple of weeks ago on Turner Classic Movies.
Ah, good.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I have never seen it myself.
It was really good.
I have never seen it.
Harry Hay is in it.
Mm-hmm.
along with several other members of the LGBT community.
Is that the one on? Hold on.
If you can get a copy of that, that is one of the earliest documentaries on GLBT people done by GLBT people.
Yes. There was a film company, it was their 20th anniversary, and they distributed a lot of obscure, independently produced films. And they were showcasing a lot of their films that night, and that was one of them.
I saw that too. I forgot to look up the name of it and talk about it. It was interesting watching that thing. It's the 30th anniversary of it.
The 30th anniversary of what?
Of that documentary.
Word is out?
Word is out.
Oh.
Or actually, it was a while ago. I think it's even...
Yeah, I think so. Because it was...
Yeah, because it was interviews with like 26 gay Americans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually in the 70s, I think, because it was really...
Yes.
And I was impressed with the fact of seeing these people talking about it.
So openly.
And openly at that time. Yeah. You could tell the age of it. You could tell it was done... on film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was not video. Mm-hmm. It was not digital.
It's not that crisp look. Yeah.
You know, and, no.
It's got the little lines running through the screen.
Right. Yeah. It had that look and that feel to it that you can tell this was something that somebody...
I actually caught that. That was cool.
Did that, and, you know, it was an interesting thing hearing these people talking about, and some of the things where they were talking about, you know, in a way, it's a little bit about their first experiences, about how when their discovery...
Yes.
...of it, and...
And some of them that went through the institutionalization.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, how they were tranquilized and then given shock therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of some good, mostly bad experiences being institutionalized.
And, yeah, I mean, the stories of people who got married because they were, you know, were told that in society that's what you had to do.
Yeah, that's what Stanley did.
And then discovered, you know, afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was one couple there that it was your stereotypical butch femme lesbian couple.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the butch looked
very masculine.
Very masculine. Yeah. The femme looked like she would be working at a diner outside of a trailer park here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I saw that one.
Flo.
She did basically look like Flo. Yeah. She did look like
Flo. Yeah, it was pretty fresh.
Yeah. Just shorter. And
her hair, though, was taller.
Talking about the fact that her kids were taken from her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, having to just put up with it to not upset the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That her husband took the kids away.
Yep.
And it was interesting seeing that kind of time capsule of what it was like then.
The other part of that is, on some level, that was however many years ago, 30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And
that was before the dawn of AIDS.
To see where we've... How... On one level, how far we've come,
and how far
and
we still have to go.
How far we mm-hmm. still have to go.
Yeah, yeah. 1977.
But you know, if you had talked with people back in that time, that era, and they told you about, you know, they came out and then they had their children taken away, even gay people would look at you and say, "Well, what did you expect?"
Yeah.
That was the mind frame we were in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're told that you're sick and diseased and you're perverted, and when you're told that long enough, it sinks in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I you know, I don't want to bring up your age, Jimmy.
I'm 62.
But I notice things like when I talk to people between their 50s and their 70s mm-hmm. and stuff who went through, it strikes me how often so many people over a certain age still refer to their lovers, their husbands, their wives, as their friends.
Yeah, my dear friend.
My dear friend.
Yes.
Gay Stockholm Syndrome.
All these years later, in a world which is arguably much more open than the one they were growing up in,
right,
they still are stuck in that mindset of, you know,
well,
referring to that person as their friend and not their...
Stanley was 21 years older than me.
Yeah.
And so he really was in that mindset.
Yeah.
When he was really bad when we met, and I kind of... gate him up as much as I could. But, you know, there was always so far he was going to go. And and to the outside world, I was his friend.
Yeah. We find out so much. Now that he's gone, we found out so much about him. It's just...
Yeah, I am finding out a lot.
You know, his closets alone are full of interesting.
Anything for the G-cam there, Jimmy?
Oh, lots, as a matter of fact. For someone who lived a closeted life, yes.
And the other end of that, which I have to mention, and I don't mean to drop this one on you.
No, go ahead.
Because it is about you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the other night... when I was busy dealing with an issue in my apartment.
Yes.
I actually was awake and I'd seen pieces of it over the last several months.
Oh.
But I finally got to see from beginning to end the PBS Montrose documentary you're in. And listening to that and listening to you talk about that whole period, you know, that whole mindset of that. I mean, I loved it. I was just
like...
The fact
that you had a goatee, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still had facial hair.
And I mean, and I hate to say this, but, you know, except for the Montrosians that I talked to who are like the local color, you know, a huge portion of the people they talked to were the people who were there for the history of Montrose.
Yes,
people
we were.
Over the age of 40 who have seen a lot more of the changes than I have in the 20 years that I've been
survived.
Here, you know? And have are still, I mean, they talk to, well, pert near everybody who's queer and famous or locally known in our neighborhood.
Been here a long time. Yeah, I've been in the Montrose since 1966.
You know,
so
I see that at the other end of the scale. You know, we're talking about that thing from way back when.
Yeah,
but to see people who are there and are able to talk about that period, you know, 40 years later, and talk about the changes that are. Our neighborhood, our queer,
and they are
history.
Huge.
And our pride parade has come a long way in the 30 plus years that it's been.
Oh yeah,
going on. I was talking to one of the committee members from Pride. Came into where I work the other day, and he told me that estimates are on attendance this year were somewhere around 250,000 people.
Really?
Wow.
And that we are now larger than the rodeo parade.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, where were those people? Because I was in the parade.
Yeah, I'm wondering that, too.
It didn't look really any bigger than
those were estimates, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's too many size queens counting.
Yeah.
It didn't look any bigger than last year's.
No, it didn't. But, you know, that was police estimates.
Okay.
You know, so... Yeah. Maybe it was 250,000, but they just weren't all there at the same time.
Maybe. I don't know.
I still had a good time.
I did, too.
In the rodeo.
There was
Workers and steers.
You know, right in the beginning, but when it filled up pretty fast. I mean, in the beginning, before they had the fencing, and the people were coming into the street, and that was getting pretty scary.
Yeah. Although they, and for the most part, I would say that the fencing worked out pretty well for the rest of the parade.
Yeah, it did.
We didn't have any, we really didn't have anybody charging the float this year.
Well, the new fencing does not allow people to slip through.
And there was a lot of people that were wanting to jump the fence where I was standing, and I told them, I said, no, you can go on the other side of Montrose and try, but don't try it here.
Although there was that one idiot who did kind of rack himself trying to get over.
I saw a few idiots.
Well, there were some like lesbian cops, too, where we were standing like on top of one of the bars.
I'm sorry, if you're 5 foot, if you're under 5 foot seven and you're trying to get over that fence,
it's not working, girl.
No, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, get over the fence, climb.
Anyhow,
back to round table.
Yeah, what else do we have?
What you got for us, Chris?
He's yawning now.
He's
taking a break there.
Yeah,
but it's so exciting.
One more sad story with the. Then we'll start into some.
Yeah, please.
Jailhouse informant. This is from Edwardsville, BFD. St. Louis area, so Illinois. A jailhouse informant gave testimony on Tuesday suggesting there was a $5,000 bounty out on the for the murder of a Wood River man because he allegedly infected another man with AIDS.
Allegedly.
Testimony came in the first-degree murder trial of 45-year-old Joey Ragusa of South Roxana. He's accused of setting fire to 34-year-old Jimmy Garrison in 2004 after Garrison had been doused with a flammable liquid.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Previous testimony suggested Ragusa was upset with Garrison over a drug deal.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Barton, a former cellmate of Ragusa's, testified for the prosecution on Tuesday that Ragusa told him somebody named Mike had offered a $5,000 bounty for Garrison's death. Barton said Ragusa told him Mike had contracted AIDS from Garrison. Barton cried as he testified about how Ragusa described seeing Garrison running around while on fire, leaving, quote, melted footprints on the floor of Garrison's apartment.
Oh, my God.
Barton said Ragusa later had $7,000 deposited into his account. Barton finished serving a four-year prison sentence for possessing child pornography and said he's received nothing from prosecutors in return from his testimony. Barton said he was testifying to do his part in hopes that someone would do the same if he were the victim of a crime. Defense attorney Rick Rosito asked Barton if it was a murder-for-hire plan by Mike. So he hired Mr. Ragusa to knock off his boyfriend, the lawyer asked. He said if it died in an accident, somebody would make $5,000. Prosecutors brought in another jailhouse informant to stand after Barton. Tommy Carson said he once was praying with Ragusa in a cell block when Ragusa started crying and talking about his part in the crime. He kept saying something about Jimmy was gay and had AIDS or something, Carson testified. In return for testifying, Carson is getting probation on two residential burglary charges.
Mm. Well, you know, burglary versus child porn, they're both pretty serious.
Gets a little sticker on here about after suffering the burns, Garrison managed to walk about a block to the home of his boyfriend. Garrison died about 7 weeks later.
Oh, God.
Oh, he had to suffer through that?
Yeah, that was
poor
painful.
Poor guy. It was something that just kind of struck me on that. We talk a lot about different cases, different prosecutions where someone is being prosecuted for infecting somebody with HIV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have a different stand on it because we are all adults. I don't think there's anyone in this country that does not know about AIDS and does not know about how to protect yourself. And my thinking is it takes two to tango. If you are having sex, unprotected sex with someone, you are as responsible as the other person. So protect yourself. If you do not know that person and they tell you that they are HIV negative, what's that worth? Is it worth your life?
No.
Yeah. No. So wrap it.
You know, there was you know how shows like Law and Order rip things from the headlines to do their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Parts of that report sound an awful lot like an episode I saw not very long ago.
Yes.
I actually saw where somebody was killing people with a killer strain of HIV.
Yes, yes.
And drugs were involved and all this other stuff. So and I can't help but think, did they base that on this report?
I know
it's possible. I mean, this story sounds very sensationalistic.
It's just
a little happier news here.
What do you got for us, Chris?
Boy, I hope so.
London 2012, the Olympics, is to sell special pins aimed at the gay community.
Why?
Openly gay Welsh rugby player Gareth Thomas urged people to wear their pin badge with pride and helps achieve greater inclusion in sport.
Oh. Ooh,
London awesome. 2012 Chief Executive Paul Dighton said the pin, the first to be launched in support of LGBT community, fits within the organization's aim to reach out to different communities. It features the rainbow flag and the London 2012 logo. Seen here.
And
that's a logo.
Yes, that is. It's very controversial. The London 2012 logo.
What the hell is it?
2012. It's very stylized.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's been a lot of controversy on how.
So,
are you guys seeing this over there?
They can't see over there. They have to come over here.
So, Jimmy, in 2012, are you going to be doing the special pinning in London?
Ooh.
Taking a trip to London, are we?
it's basically a rainbow flag with the London 2012, and if you've seen the London 2012 logo, it's very blockish.
The only thing I hope does not happen as a result of that fabulous idea
is that people
don't use it to bash. Mm. You know.
Our vision is bold and simple. It's to use the power of the games to inspire change. We want to reach out to all parts of the community and connect them with London 2012. You can order your pin online if you want. Go to shop.london2012.com. And it's actually on the front page of it. They were selling it at the gay pride parades this weekend.
So if the world doesn't end.
Depends on which religious fanatic you're listening to this week.
A new Google policy is raising some eyebrows after the company revealed it will be compensating employees for taxes paid on domestic partners' health benefits, but only if they're gay. The company said on its blog on Thursday that it will be grossing up imputed taxes on health insurance benefits for all same-sex domestic partners in the United States. In other words, the company will be paying homosexual employees who include domestic partners on their health insurance plans more money to make up for the federal taxes they pay on that benefit.
That's a first.
Married couples
don't
have to.
I can see a problem arise from that.
Married couples don't have to pay the taxes on spousal health benefits. But under Google's new policy, the company isn't offering any extra pay to heterosexual domestic partners because it says heterosexual employees have the option of avoiding paying the tax by getting married.
There you go.
Daryl Hirsch.
Why do I see a legal battle in the works?
Well, hold on. Let me preface it by the fact I'm reading the story from FoxNews.com.
What?
But under Google,
Rupert Murdoch must be losing his grip.
Daryl Hirschhaft, director of the Workplace Project at HRC, a gay rights advocacy group, says Google's policy is a step in the right direction. They're picking up the slack where the federal government hasn't, recognizing the reality of diversity in the workforce today.
So Fox is switching its rhetoric from the right to the teabaggers?
No, they're going to be talking about the fact that it goes down further when you get into stuff of how bad this is.
I think most of the people on Fox News have lost their grip, though.
Have you seen Glenn Beck?
I see him, and I just keep going because I don't want to hear his, you know.
I mean, he's just come off as kind, you know. I mean, we've listened to Rush Limbaugh for years, but Glenn Beck really just somewhere off the deep end. I mean, he's. And there's no water in the pool.
I watched a couple of nights ago because I got up, woke up late, couldn't fall asleep, and he was having this discussion he brought in pastors and preachers, and he was talking to them, and he had this kind of school setting he was trying to put together. Supposedly, he's working on making an online university. So get ready to get your degree from Beck U.
Beck what?
Prestigious University of the Internet.
It's... Some of the stuff I saw was scary. Like I said, I watched him for a little bit. I wasn't taking anything filtered from Olbermann. I watched Glenn Beck straight up, no chaser. And it was a little scary, to say the least. Good for a laugh, though.
Yeah.
So I don't
get my degree in demagoguery.
Yeah.
I've heard of some of the... I don't watch that station. I just can't. I just can't.
Apparently,
but when I hear about it, when I hear about things that Beck has said, I'm like, who let him out of the lunatic asylum?
Nobody let him out. He escaped. I mean,
because, you know, apparently there's at least one asylum that's still living in the late 1800s, and that's the one he's a refugee from.
Obviously. I look at Glenn Beck, and I sometimes feel, you know, shock therapy might be good.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed him attending some event wearing a tuxedo, and he had a skull and crossbones on his cummerbund.
That's really
tasteful.
Tasteful, really.
Mr. GQ.
I'm sorry, does he know what tack... Oh, wait. Never mind. He doesn't know what tact is.
No.
He just kind of talks out of the other end.
Like I said, it was one of those things. It was late at night, and, you know, the infomercials weren't really talking to me. And
you should try Animal Planet late at night.
Yeah. So you can watch
Speaking of the pillars.
So you can watch the thing about ghost animals and stuff.
I don't even have that one visible. I have that one blocked. Because one time I was slipping through, and I think I saw Bindi, and I just... No. that poor girl. Not because she lost her dad. Something happened to her. Something about the... when they reach in with the tongs, they squeeze too hard. So I don't know. Speaking of right-wingers.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. let's play another video here. This is from special correspondent to our show, Stephen Colbert.
Oh, my Lord.
This is part of his threat down subject here a couple nights ago. And it was talking about the Texas GOP. Let's see how.
Oh, come on.
Let's see how well this is going to play. Okay, I pushed play.
Finally, folks, the Texas GOP has released their new platform, which has a lot of great ideas. For one, it calls for the adoption of American English as the official language of Texas. Now, I would say bravo, but I don't want to get arrested for speaking Spanish. And an even better plank on this platform, although it is already banned in Texas, Republicans want to make gay marriage a felony, and they want to criminalize sodomy. Folks, this is a foolproof way to end homosexuality in Texas. Gay people are good law-abiding citizens. So if we make sodomy illegal, I'm sure they'll stop doing it. And if they don't, we'll send them to jail where there is no sodomy. And gotta use the noodle. Gotta use the noodle, folks. And the Texas GOP's anti-sodomy proposal brings me to threat number one. The Texas GOP. Guys, nowhere in the platform do you specify what kind of sodomy. I mean, check your dictionary. It's a pretty broad term, covering basically anything freakier than a firm handshake face-to-face between you and your lawful wife before you go to your separate twin beds. See, I'm all for banning the gay kind. But sometimes sodomy can be a depraved, unnatural act of debasement between a man and a woman as God intended. All I'm saying is that there's sodomy, and then there's sodomy. It's really in the eye of the beholder. Which can also be a form of sodomy.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Stephen Colbert from the Colbert Report.
Thank you, Steve Colbert.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That was too that, funny. Thank you to Queerty for that. I've kind of expanded my... who I'm using now for sources on here. It's... finding a lot more past Tolero. We're using a lot more Joe My God.
Anything good on the Rotten?
A couple of them I think I pulled from Rotten. The Daily Rotten, a.k.a. William.com.
After Elton?
No, I actually don't even use them. Pinknews.co.uk. Delisted, I pulled a couple from Boy Culture. Some different blogs that kind of, they all linked to each other, all kind of incestuous,
right?
With some of their stuff.
Even Milk Boys has an occasional political post.
Yeah, sometimes we get from there. Sticky at Queer Click.
Yeah,
occasionally has some. Now there just seem to be all the porn.
Well, that's what the internet is for, right?
Yeah.
Of course, some clueless skit's going to listen to that skit right there and actually take him seriously.
Yeah.
You know, some.
Now to the police blotter story.
Oh, boy.
Man busted for looking at porn in the McDonald's play area. Wisconsin, from Madison, Wisconsin, a 38-year-old man was arrested on Sunday, for allegedly looking at pornographic images and fondling himself at a Westside McDonald's. Madison police say Michael Baumgartner, 38, of Madison, was arrested on suspicion of lewd and lascivious behavior and disorderly conduct at about 12:45 on Sunday. Police said he was using his laptop to look at pornographic images in the McDonald's play area on O'Donnell Road while 15 to 20 children were playing. According to police, one of the other parents became suspicious when it appeared the man had on the computer had no children in the play area. He told police that he saw the man looking at pornographic images and typing with one hand while fondling himself with the other.
So he was using the wrong mouse?
Apparently. He's having a happy meal.
According to the report. It also stated that the responding officer witnessed the same behavior. Police say the suspect, who told the police he has no children, admitted to exercising bad judgment.
Gee, you think?
Oh, wow.
He was exercising more than that when he got busted.
Note to him, to make it a little bit easier, I would recommend Burger King because it makes it easier to clean up because they may still have those plastic Burger King puppets.
Oh, yeah.
What a sad thing. Like him made porn for him, and he's in the kid area. Yeah.
And I think some Burger Kings actually have like a separate internet cafe area.
Some, yeah. But then again, you know, like I said, he wanted a Happy Meal instead of wanted a Whopper.
Burger King.
So that was it. Now, in a similar story.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
Now, this is really stretching where I'm getting my stories from. This is, it was linked to this site. I am reading something from the news source for the, I believe it's the American Family Association.
Oh, my God.
When you hear the word family, just watch out.
A city councilor in Quincy, Massachusetts, wants to take a unique approach to fighting against the use of the library's computers to view pornography. Daniel Raimonde, a member of the Quincy Board of Councilors, started thinking about the possibilities when he reviewed minutes of the Library Board of Trustees meeting and noticed they indicated a need to look closer at library rules regarding pornography. We have valuable taxpayer resources, in my judgment, being abused by people who violate a library policy against visiting pornographic sites, and this is no accident, he reports.
Research purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the library.
He further notes his concern that women, children, and other passerbys may be offended by the practice. So he wants to publish the names of policy violators in the local newspaper as a way of shaming them into stopping. That list.
Why don't we just put them in stocks and, you know, throw some.
That. As long as they can still type with one hand.
Exactly.
That list, he says, would include people who have violated the policy on more than one occasion but have refused to stop even after receiving a number of warnings.
Look, Mom, I'm in the paper.
But Quincy Counselor does not believe his plan will create a problem with libel or slander. We print the names of folks in the paper who don't pay their real estate tax. We print the names of people who have been charged, so there's an allegation against them, he explains. That doesn't prevent the news media from printing those names, and there's no libel with respect to that.
But if they are not charged with a crime, it's not on the public record necessarily.
And probably, you're talking at most, a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what level they go to.
Exactly.
They could bump up the charges enough and say, you know, he's distributing, you know, the fact there was a child in the area, he
making
was distributing.
Making pornography available to someone under the age of 18. Yes,
people are going to read that list like every day just to see if their friend's on there.
Raimondi feels the idea of shaming through fame was worth bearing in mind. It will be considered, he says, along with other thoughts on the subject.
It's a good way to start a community of people who look at porn in the library.
Yeah, it's Quincy, Massachusetts. You know,
bringing people together.
You know, they're right around the park. You know, I used to say when I worked at a famous place, the National International Copy chain store that's recently changed its name when being bought out. I worked in the computer department, and we had talked about what happens if somebody is viewing pornography on the computers that we allowed rent to them. And I actually questioned the fact that they went through, well, if you see that, what do you do? You know, A, B, or C. I say, well, how about D? You tell the old biddy who's looking over the guy's shoulder to stop looking over the shoulder. Mm. He's paying me $10 an hour to use this computer. Didn't go over that well, but then I also suggested that at my store we had this big open room that they had planned to put something in but didn't. And it's like, well, why don't we do this? Let's put computers in there in an enclosed booth and charge them 25 cents a minute and put a cover over the keyboard and the screen, and we just go and we'll, you know, hose it down afterwards and let them watch whatever the hell they want to. That idea didn't fly either.
And how much longer did you work there? I'm kidding.
Keep quiet.
Oh, for a while. They fired me for other reasons.
Oh, I see.
Technically, I quit.
Technically, you quit.
Yeah. Would either be fired immediately or quit in 2 weeks. I took the 2 weeks. But no, that was. I've always had a question about that kind of stuff of why are we. You know, I understand, you know, you're in a library and that. Well, then fine. Put some of the computers where you can't have people walking up behind you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, turn the computers around, put your back to the wall, or you put filters on it.
Keep one hand free.
Well, at the Houston Public Library, they have filters.
And I understand those filters, unfortunately, can be. Are a little tough because when you start putting in certain words and all that, right. You know, it may restrict access for you being able to search for, say, breast cancer.
Right.
Hmm. You know, or, you know, if you want to do a search of Mrs. Slocum's pussy, it may backfire. You know, there's certain words that, you know, you may go in there trying to find a recipe and find out that you can't access spotted dick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are limitations to using the filters, but I think that's your first line of defense. I'm glad to see they're looking at it as adults using that, not, you know, youth, because for me, it's I've always had an issue with that of, you know, restricting the internet based off, well, children are there and they can access it. Well, if you can't teach your children what they should and shouldn't be looking at, don't ask me to restrict what I want to do because of them.
Right.
Plus, they're already out there on there. My God.
There, some part of me looks at, it was funny, the idea of shaming somebody who's, I can't, and yes, there are some people who, I think, some of their nasty business occasionally should make it onto the public domain.
Yeah.
To warn people, there's sometimes when I believe that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I can't also not think in terms of those days when, you know, gay people, their names ended up in the newspaper when they were arrested.
Yeah, they still happen.
And I'm like, and, you know, next thing you know, you found them hanging in their closets by the neck, you know. It's
And not our autoerotic asphyxiation.
No.
But no, that type of thing happened, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years ago, when police raided an adult bookstore over there at I-10 and the Beltway, and I guess they took Channel 11 along with it, and not only did Channel 11 start showing the people, then researched on them, and found one of them was a middle school science teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went 1960s on this guy, mm-hmm. of announcing his name, what school he worked at, and, you know, he's out of a job now for going into a booth, putting a buck in there, and hoping,
and helping himself, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know. Doing his own little biology experiment.
Exactly.
Whether or not he had others accompanying him, that was another story. But, you know.
Yeah.
It's public shaming like that. You know, there's other places that do that stuff. I forget what city it is. They have people who go through the alleys with cameras trying to catch guys who have picked up hookers.
Just send Chris Hansen to their house. It works.
I will meet him eventually. I'm stalking Chris Hansen. He doesn't realize it yet.
Are you posing as a 50-year-old?
No, I figure I would do it the other way. You know, I'll get in trouble first, and then I'll ask him to have a seat.
We could just clone him.
Someone going to bail me out? Someone was asking me earlier if we're going to have a bailout. Start a bail fund there for me. Chris Hansen, I'm your biggest fan. Yay! Actually, with shoving the name Chris there, since I use that in my screen names, I've teased about sometimes when I'm in a chat room and starts talking like that stuff, I'll go, "Hi, I'm Chris Hansen. Would you like to have a seat?"
I bet the room clears out after that, huh?
No, usually I get a little chuckle or two. You know, really? It's one of my two standard little lines I use in the chat room. Either that one or when it starts getting more Hispanic in there talking, and they're going back and forth and all the Spanish, and everyone's like, "Huh?" I just go in, "Yo tengo un lápiz, mi lápiz es amarillo." And the Spanish-speaking guys don't understand what the hell I'm joking about. But those who have taken Spanish realize, okay, he's taking just saying the basic Spanish line like he learned in Spanish 1. With an old setup there, I found it and put it in that same sentence in different languages. So with a couple of keystrokes there, if it started getting German all of a sudden, it'd come up and say, "I have a pencil, my pencil is yellow," in German, Italian, French. Just be ready for any of that sort of thing. Our final story we have.
What you got now?
You really have to see the picture. This is from metro.co.uk in their weird section.
Their weird section?
Penis cucumber saved from the chop. Now, if
but I thought the vibrating cucumber was just a massager. Yeah.
Now, if you want to know why I told you that you can go to metro.co.uk and check their weird section for this, is because we have a picture.
There's a picture. Never seen a cucumber with low hangers before, but okay.
You've been looking in the wrong place.
Apparently.
Yes, and Jose's opinion on the cucumber?
Any cucumber can be a penis if it's used the right way.
It looks like it has elephantitis.
35-year-old...
Have you seen the picture?
No.
35-year-old Irene Harska from Esztergom, Hungary, said that when she got back from the greengrocer, she couldn't bring herself to chop up the vegetable, which looks entertainingly like a set of male genitalia. Quote, "Then I realized what it was. It reminded me of my husband too much, and I really love him." There you go.
She must have spent many happy years with that man, I'm sure.
So I didn't have the heart to cut it up, she explained Irene.
Is she going to have it pickled?
Let's see, one of the quotes on here, the people responding to it, there, "It reminded me of my husband too much." She said, "Well, maybe he should shave his privates. Those little nubbies look painful." And, of course, somebody else loved the story of amusingly shaped
vegetables.
Maybe she found it for other uses, but it's quite of an impressive cucumber.
It is. It looks like three cucumbers. It looks like three cucumbers in one.
Yeah, it's basically, it's two cucumbers that are kind of fused lengthwise.
Right, and then the other one is
Jolly Green Giant.
Kind of.
She should have it permanently preserved in plastic or something. You know.
Green Giant.
Lucite or something.
Ah, that's
Shrek.
Shrek.
Makes me want to have a salad.
A big cucumber salad.
Right. Somewhere in the world, the Incredible Hulk is screaming right now and bleeding profusely.
But that's the closest I have to one of our pillars. There's cucumber.
That's fabulous.
It's a pillar.
Huh?
It was big enough to be a pillar.
Sort, yeah. It is freestanding.
All right, let me clear that. We're coming here to the end of the show here at K50 After Hours. Come up with Zetico Pasale. And follow that up with a Red Eye Special and the Blues Marathon here on KPFT. We will be back next week. We'll hopefully have a theater group next week. I will shame them at stage door.
Are you going to post their name on the After Hours Facebook?
Well, normally Wes does the Facebook, but I do have some pictures of the Pride Parade of KPFT people on the Facebook page. I went through and found some on CL.net and KHOU.com.
Oh, wow.
They handed us cards saying, look for pictures, and they had still pictures on there. 249 pictures.
On KHOU?
On KHOU.
Wow.
And from the KPFT float, they had Big Roy and David. Not that David, the other David.
Oh, yeah.
Not that David, the other David. So.
That's as bad as my history with Sean's.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. You can get in touch with us. It's 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006.
Love TT.
Or you can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. You can also hook us up on Facebook, where, like I said, you can find pictures, become a friend of the show. facebook.com/afterhours. It's time now for your PSAs. Then Zydeco Pasale.
This is Mumia Abu-Jamal with a special message for you, Pacifica listeners. This is not a plea for money, although it'll be great for you to drop some, but a call for you to lend something far more precious. You. Why not run as a candidate for your local Pacifica station board? Nominating packages are available at PacificaElections2010.org. Why not be a part of the solution?
You can run as a candidate for KPFT's local station board until Monday, July 19th. Contact local election supervisor Kathy Kidd by calling 281-668-8854 or email les
pacifica_KPFT at pacifica.org.
Why not be a part of the solution?
Family Promise in Southeast Harris County is holding a fundraiser at both Casa Olays in Pasadena on Friday, July 16th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Contact Hank at Family Promise at 281-991-1084 to get your flyer for the fundraiser. A portion of your bill will go to Family Promise's work with homeless families. Get your flyer and come hungry. KPFT, Houston.